Someone's a hungry boy.
I had a muffin.
Just literally ate.
I had one muffin.
Which one of you, who made that Samurai Champloo noise?
That was me.
That was
okay. That was totally me.
Okay. What's up? What's up?
I woke up and I had a muffin, but like that's all I had. And so now I'm hungry.
Okay.
That's it. And now I have this podcast to do. So after this podcast, I'm going to be really, really hungry.
Podcast hungry, remember.
Oh, Matt, what's that in your hand?
Nothing.
Okay. Oh. He's not holding anything in his hand.
Oh, no.
I had a really rough night's sleep. So something that happens to me.
The Shadow Man again?
Almost. Something that happens to me from time to time is, I mean, that's always a threat. Something that happens to me
never
from time,
drop your guard
from time to time is I don't know if you guys ever got this, but sometimes when I'm sleeping and I have like a dream where the dream is happening exactly where I left off going to bed, like there's continuity, you can't discern between the two.
I've had that. Yeah. It's confusing and I hate it.
I can't say that I've
also had the wake up dream where everything's totally normal.
Yes, right?
Which
exactly.
is just as awful.
So twice in my life that has led to me when I was younger rolling off the top bunk.
Yeah.
Falling, hitting my head on the metal and then hitting my head on the ground.
Uh-huh.
And that sensation of sleep into weightlessness into extreme thud pain of metal onto floor was like horrifying.
That explains a few things.
That really, that really, those two times specifically stuck with me because I don't know why, but for some reason
your bunk had no rail.
We stopped, I was on the bottom at first and then we switched at some point because I don't know why, like we just agreed to switch and my brother was on the bottom and then I was on the top, but the railing broke and It wore down the screws in a way that like it couldn't just be like put replaced type of thing. So everyone was just lazy and just didn't.
That's terrible.
And then they just didn't put the thing back up. And so I just slept with an open thing. And twice I like in a startled moment like rolled off or like jerked to the side and fell the fuck off the bed.
Okay, did that happen yesterday?
No. I guess
you rolled off the top bunk again?
Yeah, no. There was a third time when I used to live down in my place closer to where you used to live,
if you
remember, like my old address. And that was a time where like it was a much more minor, but like I kind of woke up like in the middle of a fight kind of thing. And like I got up in like alert mode, like blocking and swinging kind of thing. Like what's going on? And like, and it was like a really jerky thing, but like, that's sort of it. But yesterday was fucking horrifying because, I was basically, I was in the dream. Mm-hmm. It was like, I was in bed exactly where I was, except it wasn't night anymore. It was day.
Sure.
And, me and my girlfriend were lying there. And then suddenly for some reason I heard down from where I live, like outside my door, I heard the elevator like ding and open.
Yeah.
And then I heard gunfire.
Okay.
And then the gunfire was shooting down the hallway and getting closer.
Uh-huh.
And then I heard our front door kick open. Right? And
this
fucking...
This is the dream?
This is the dream.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
And in the dream, you grab the gun that's under your pillow.
Your dream gun.
Yeah. So, that thought, right? Exactly. I've got the fucking sword from the mailbag in arm's reach, but what's that going to fucking do? You know what I mean?
We have the brass knuckle combination dagger.
Yeah.
See, Wooly, at your old place, that would have done plenty. But in your new place, the distance from your bed to the front door is too long.
No. Unless I can fucking stinger
you
across the hall.
You set yourself up for death here.
How's your flash step?
Exactly. Right? I got to watch more Bleach to find out if I can catch up to the gun user. So... it's one of those moments where, yeah, like you immediately panic and whatnot and freak out and I'm like, okay. And, I can't remember like how.
Oh yeah. It gets all weird.
It gets weird. But what ended up happening was like somewhere between the thud of my door kicking open and, my girlfriend who was like next to me there, like I remember her saying something. And then it kind of gets hazy, but I woke up like grabbing her and pulling her the opposite way
to shield
off
yourself.
The bed.
Okay.
Right. And I remember all like again, like I was like I wasn't awake until I was like on top.
Yeah.
Yanking her off, and like we almost fell, kind of like would have hit our head on the side, and fucking like it would have been bad, right? But like, and I remember, and all I remember is like being like, "What the fuck is going on? Why is it suddenly nighttime?" And I remember like the like my heart was fucking racing, and like my back like was tensed up because I was expecting to feel bullets going through them,
okay,
type of thing. So. Because that was facing the opening, if you remember like how my room is, kind of set up. And that gives you a fucking hard time going back to sleep after that.
So, and I imagine your girlfriend being like, what the fuck?
What, like, yeah, like, what is that?
You're like I was practicing wrestling.
Like midnight, like exactly midnight suplexes going down. Like, what was that about? But yeah, I don't fucking know. But like, that was a really, really rough one. And
really,
that's,
you've presented some evidence. I'm going to say two words to you: shadow men.
Okay, well,
they're there.
I mean, look, I imagine they don't use guns though.
I imagine
they don't, but they use like weird mind powers.
I imagine a scenario in which, due to a poor set of circumstances, a bad fall, some poor luck, cops are at the place going, this is the weirdest murder-suicide I've ever seen.
Like,
apparently they just
triple
roll. Apparently he
German
just suplexed
suplexes
her with a roll,
well,
off the
that's,
bed,
that's,
and their,
the thing
their
is,
heads both cracked the floor.
On the plus side, like, my unconscious reaction was to shield and cover.
Well, that's laudable.
Right, but right. On the minus side, I almost broke our necks for no reason.
For nothing. So yeah.
So there's
good
your
job. You were
there's a, your fucking
you
balance.
Were, you were a big hero in response to ghosts.
Sometimes the evil is within.
Happy birthday to me.
Oh, yeah,
happy
birthday.
Birthday.
Well, not dissimilar. This happened actually a few weeks ago, where we both woke up and we heard tapping through the wall, which is not like uncommon. But it's the neighbors that are like, the wall that we share is my TV, the brick wall there. Whenever they're putting in a whatever in the wall, you hear it like hammering. We heard tapping, and it was like, what
and
time
tapping?
Is it? 4 a.m. And I'm like, no. And we're hearing it through the wall in like our where our headboard is. There's no one there.
Okay.
That's the wall that leads to our balcony.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's just tapping. And she's like, who is tapping? And I'm like, oh. And I fell asleep again. And then when I woke up, she's like, why did you just say that? And I was like, what? She's like, didn't you just say wake up now? I'm like, no, I didn't. And she's like, because it didn't sound like you. But, and I'm like, it's nothing. You're just dreaming. She's like, were we dreaming the tapping? And I was like, what tapping? And I was like, there was tapping. And then I just went back to bed again. And we're both really angry because we don't know what it was.
Well, the problem here is like you're given this weird situation and you're having to deal with it in like your least competent state.
Yeah. One thing was real. That's all I know. Which was the tapping and the jabbing.
Sure.
So I don't know.
All right.
I mean, there's the thing.
Shadow
is,
men.
Here's the thing, though. It is cold and we live in Montreal and houses contract and shape during winter
consistently. Yeah,
so thuds, taps, cracks, that type of shit.
My building is from like 1922.
It starts to happen around the time when shit gets cold,
and
then it expands.
You start to learn as to like what is actually your asshole neighbors and what is just your house.
Yeah.
Though in my current place, there is a very specific wall or whatever. I don't know which one it is, but it creaks in such a way that I'm like, is somebody in my fucking house?
Yeah.
It's the floor, and it's in the morning, and it makes me think people are walking around to kill me.
Right.
Anyway, I'm tired of this bullshit.
It's pretty trash. I get
dead like, grandpa's coming back.
I'm told that like this is what Ultra Instinct actually is. Right, so that's me kicking into
Wally,
right.
I have one for you. I have a similar story that will make you feel better because it ends much worse than yours. And it's from my youth. I had a dream in which I woke up in the middle of the night, like, you know, go to bed, toss and turn, then in the dream I threw up everywhere.
Oh.
Like, absolutely everywhere. Like, all over my pajamas, the bed, everything. And then in my dream, I was terrified that, like, I would get in trouble or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went back to bed. Then I woke up and went to breakfast. And my parents look at me and go, "What the fuck?" And I go, "What? Oh, shit. That was all super real and not a dream at all. And now I've slept in vomit for 6 hours.
Oh, yeah.
You had a rough year last year, to be honest.
That was like 20 years ago.
Sure.
But let me tell you, going to sleep in cold vomit.
Oh, man.
Is worse than sometimes. Almost killing yourself for nothing. Because it feels gross.
You ever have a dream where you're so realistic that you get up and you go to the bathroom? And then you start using the bathroom, and then it turns out you never woke up.
Yep.
Yeah, me neither.
Neither. I've had two of those.
I've had one of those.
One when I was much younger, and it ended badly, and one when I was like 2 years ago, and I went, no, wake up.
Yeah. Fuck.
Where it kicks in,
fuck
like
your brain.
Just
fuck
time.
Your brain. Like the muscles start to release, right? Things start to loosen, and then you're like, nope. Yep.
Fighting yourself.
You got to fucking gator roll out of bed. You know, like
speed is the key.
Oh man, you want to talk about dangerous situations?
There is nothing more horrible than okay. Oh man, this is gonna be detailed. But okay, you know, you gotta piss real bad, you're jumping around, you all that shit.
Yeah.
Right? You jump, you know. You can hold that for a long time.
Oh yeah.
What you can't,
very bad for the kidneys,
is for whatever reason, you start to take a piss and then something stops you and you must stop. And then you have to hold it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't use the toilet. The water's out.
Or there's someone at the door, and you can't miss it.
The public bathroom is broken.
Yeah.
Once you fucking open up the gates of Mordor, the orcs are running.
Rushing.
It's
the
a problem.
Piss orcs of Mordor.
Yeah. No, I remember I was watching Remember the Titans, and I had to go from minute 4. And I don't know why I thought I'd just be like, fuck it. It's not going to be that long. And I sat through the whole
really
thing
it.
Burning. And I remember...
What? Burning.
And I remember, like, I held it for so long that when I went to pee at the bathroom afterwards, running out, of course, as soon as the credits
hit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you hurt
yourself. I held it for so long that I couldn't go.
Yeah, that's bad.
The muscle was, like, almost, like, contracting
in
a way.
That's not... It's
and
no
you're
good.
Just like, what do I do now?
You're like, wait, where is it going to come out of now?
Yeah, the sensation hasn't gone away. So what, like, body's, like, got question marks? Like, you know that meme? Of the dude that looks at the screen and just goes like, and you get like the question marks appearing? Like, it's like that around my stomach and my fucking bladder.
I thought you meant it's just like a transparent figure of a human body and there's question marks inside every part.
Where did this offshoot to?
No one knows.
I haven't had that with piss, but I have had it with the other one it's like, oh my God, I'm going to shit my fucking piss. Oh no. But now the timeline is wrong and so there isn't enough time and then it just goes away.
That's no good.
And then it's gone.
That's
and
no good.
You're like, and enough of those, you have to go to the hospital.
Exactly. Because
I guess I'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Because I was going to say, if you don't know where that goes, you can look up.
I don't need to look up.
IFM, I believe they call it. When it's impacted fecal matter, it fucking sits in there for years, and they got to pull that out of you with doctors and...
Like a whole
team. Yeah, I know.
It's a bad time.
Like George Clooney.
Yeah, it is.
Oh. Right. So, use the bathroom.
You know what the worst part about that shit is?
What?
It's not even the embarrassment of the shenanigans that must be going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the doctor laughing at your x-ray. It's the thing they make you drink. The fucking chemical that they give you. They bring out
Super Lax?
Basically. But they bring out this 2-liter jug.
Deflax.
And it is like syrup that tastes like poison. And they go, drink this. And you go, how much? They're like, this.
Yeah.
And okay. Like, you drink it until it, you know when you've drunk too much of something, like water or anything, and you go to gulp and it hits the water in your throat.
It's still holding up there, yeah.
And it's like,
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a bad scene. It's a bad scene. Take care, eat fiber, take care of yourself, go to the bathroom when you need to. Don't kill your loved ones while you're asleep. And if you vomit in a dream,
hope it's a dream.
Go to the bathroom in the dream also.
Just get it all out there. Fight or flight.
If you hear mysterious tapping, investigate. Why are you doing
that? No, or don't. The mystery remains.
It's probably a bird. Hates your wall.
I mean, you could.
It's a brick wall. There's nothing to do.
I mean,
in
theory, you could just not investigate and just wait for threat.
And wait for death.
And if threat comes... Well, and this is where it's like, well, if you have gun, then you just wait for... You just wait for threat and then... Yeah, but gun. So all noises are like, hey, what's that about?
Woo! I don't trust that, because if I had gun and I was in the method of investigating mysterious noises... I would then turn that fear from fear of getting murdered to fear of going to jail for a very stupid mistake that I made when I was tired.
I'd rather swipe a baseball in the dark, baseball bat or a knife, because it's very low likelihood if there is someone there and it's a mistake or whatever. It's low. A gun, I kind of feel is like, if I had gun... if I started shooting through the air, like I feel like I'll most likely
wait. In your mind, when you're investigating the threat, you're just shooting into darkness,
swinging at the dark, and
in the fever of weird dream fighting. Just talked about how he almost killed his girlfriend.
That's true.
Poor Zach.
If Wooly had gun, would Wooly shoot the door in gun dream?
Shoot high.
Poor Zach, like home run out the front window just from blind swings.
He stays low.
Luckily, Zach is pure white and reflects all light.
He is very bright.
Oh, boy. I think investigating... versus stabbing and hoping for crits.
Who will
is a different?
Who will live slightly longer?
It's a different game you're playing, man.
I'm a big fan of the bat. I agree with Matt.
Just swipe a baseball bat through the air while barking.
You have to commit heavily to a baseball swing. It has full torque in it.
Yeah, like, that's true. I'll tire myself out.
Yeah, but you know what else you can do with a baseball bat? You can kind of just poke at something far away.
Poke the darkness, you know?
And then when the raccoon that it obviously is attacks you, you'll live.
And then, bam, I hit Turok's shadow face in the face.
If you've got sword, you could poke with sword and then feel...
How about what's going on?
I just realized, what is with the total lack of prepositions in this discussion?
How about if I think that there's something in the darkness, I call you over, you poke with sword, and I shoot with gun in darkness.
But only if you're asleep.
Yeah.
Okay, but then when I come over...
Why is sleeping Wooly cooler than awake Wooly?
That's a mystery I will never know.
You don't know how cool you are when you're asleep.
You'll have to knock me out one day and interview him. You'll get the blue glow, and the hair will go back to black, right? And everything will just go revert to how it used to be, and I'll be an Ultra Instinct. But I got no answers for you because I'm awake.
You got to set up night vision cameras, because I bet you do some cool shit when you're asleep. Like, you put on sunglasses and you start writing.
Wall running.
Oh, with a laptop, and you're writing in different languages you couldn't possibly know.
Here's the problem. You call me over and I come running over for the assist with my sword.
Yeah.
And you're ready with the gun out. And when I run into your house, I get shot because you're like, who the fuck is that?
No, it's Shadow Man.
You're so cool. Your reflexes are blazing hot. And you'll dodge the bullet catch it in your teeth.
I spin the blade and then lay each bullet down in a row. So it's like click, 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 click. And then I flip them up and I shoot them back at
you. Desperately need more Virgil cutscenes.
I think we unlock all our limiters when we're asleep.
That's, for better and for worse.
You just don't know.
Yeah. I will protect you.
Until you're dead.
But I might hurt you and by protecting you when you don't need protecting.
I'll protect you even if it kills you.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that was full Mamoru, but also your potential neck break.
Just be glad that you don't have the waking thrash dream reaction.
Yeah, those are bad.
I used to date somebody who could wake up out of a dream fighting like you described, but like the flail is just full body and just pow.
Right, right, right.
It's the worst.
That happened once, and like thankfully I was alone. So because
like
thing,
if but... you if that happened, boy, yeah. No one would believe you. Nah, man, I was asleep. It was
boy.
Dream suplexes.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes so much coordinate. It takes two people to perform a suplex.
Dude, like people muscles rippling. Like I was fucking, and then like wait. I was gonna. What was I gonna say about that? About no one believing you.
Yeah.
Like there is that fucking video of the rich guy that got into a fight with the crazy ex,
mm-hmm.
who then like he left the room and he has security cameras all over.
Of course he does.
And so just cut to the footage of her just dropping herself and punching herself in the face. And like the only thing that kept him like not alive, but kept him out of
out
fucking
of the
jail
troubles.
Was like, here's some video, guys. Oh, holy shit!
Well,
you
that's
know?
Bad.
Yeah, that's a rough one. Yeah, cool things when you're asleep. All right. What happened in your week, Matt?
Played a few things, not too much. More a Battle Chef Brigade. Let me explain this for you, especially Willy, for the puzzle aspect of it. It's like
puzzles.
You need 100 star dish.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make this many combos with your jewels, pair up 3, and you want to get as many in within the time limit. A judge that you have to impress says the ingredient of your dish has to heavily rely on the earth element. So any animals you kill to prepare for your dish will give you green gems. Green is earth. That's the ingredient you have to use. But for my personal preference, I enjoy the fiery hotness. So you have to balance your combos to be green and red if you want to get the most points possible.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like the limit to just pass is 100. Mm-hmm. You're also trying to beat an AI that's cooking as well.
This sounds complex.
And you're not allowed to see what that AI is doing.
Okay.
So I when I was streaming the other night, I saw some of that advanced tech, and then they're like, oh, if you want, you can purchase these earth bowls that bring out combos easier for earth gems.
Mm-hmm.
So you only have to match 2, not 3. It speeds up the combos you can get because you have an earth-based dish. So if you know that judge is going to be like earth dishes, I should probably buy this just in case and whip it out if I need it. Like this, just the puzzle aspect of Battle Chef Brigade can be its absolutely own game.
Hmm.
But then there's like an RPG element
around,
to it where you're running
fighting,
around talking
hunting,
to characters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there's the fighting aspect. There's the story aspect. There's the daily like grind of like get up at your inn, go talk to characters, see what's new. Then there's the Monster Hunter / action game style fighting,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the puzzle aspect. Like mm-hmm. it's really much more in depth than I ever thought. And I was talking to Liam about it. Liam was like, "I always thought this game would be cool, judging on the Kickstarter, but I never thought it would be like this in depth." And like, yeah, so it's not too long of a game. I think it's around 8-10 hours, but I'm gonna continue playing it off video and so just because it's so cool. I talked about on Twitter, there's this game called 80s Overdrive that's coming out on the 3DS in like a week or so. Yeah.
Finally.
And it's just like a vaporwave, like, you know, late 80s neon-infused racing game that looks a lot like Top Gear 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone said, hey, that's cool, but maybe you guys should
check... Wow, that looks great.
Maybe you guys should check this out, Horizon Chase, which is on like the iOS store. And I'm like, let me check this out. I wonder if it's a lot like Top Gear. It has the composer of the original couple of Top Gears working on it. Wooly, Do you want to take one guess what happens if you overtake someone or get bumped by someone in Horizon Chase?
Let me guess. Perhaps a speech bubble appears saying, fuck you, but all covered in censored letters?
No, it just says 90s-esque, like, get bent or eat dust.
Sure.
There's no swearing, but yes, little speech bubbles come out of your car that's like, I'm overtaking you, and like, make way for the champ. Horizon Chase literally is Top Gear 1 and 2. I read that there's
is there any, gee, I wonder what kind of person is driving that car? Or, what do you mean? Oh, it's one of them.
Or no, there's not. There's
no moments where your character turns their head, looks over to the other car, and then a speech bubble that says, figures.
nothing that borderline.
No?
But,
just checking.
But yeah, it's a really nice game. It looks really interesting because it's kind of like a voxel art style, like for the backgrounds, but the cars are rendered nicely and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem with it is that since I've been playing it, I play like about an hour and a half. It's crashed twice where as soon as I've finished a race, it just boots back to the main of my iPad.
Race.
Of my iPad, it just goes back to the home menu. I have to restart. I'm like, okay, it saved the progress, so good on you. But I've never had a game like app/crash on my iPad ever, so that's kind of weird. But it's getting a PS4 port called Horizon Chase Turbo. It's coming out, I think, next year. So that was pretty cool. And winter, I kind of hate winter.
It's
more
not quite here yet.
Yeah.
It's actually 4 degrees outside.
It's quite comfortable.
Well,
quite
what I don't like more than the temperature is it being dark at 3.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's actually the thing.
So I had a weird moment.
There's a clinical thing about people get depressed when this happens.
Yeah, some people are more susceptible than others.
Seasonal depression.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, I had a weird moment where I heard church bells going off, but it was dark outside.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is different.
Oh, it's the rapture.
Yeah.
Finally.
Because those moments, like, I know I talked about how, like the sound of lawnmowers means Sunday morning, no work.
That's correct.
It means summer
right?
to me.
So it means summer. It means relaxing. Yeah. So I love waking up to the sound of distant
bad.
Lawnmowers.
Completely agree.
The second best is church bells, because I've happened to always live within the air, like the surround, like a close place where there's a Catholic church with church bells.
Well, that's real easy in Montreal.
And that, exactly. And that always signals Sunday morning as well.
Yeah.
So like when I hear church bells, I'm like, oh, that's cool. In the distance, I'm like, awesome. Here's a day off. Mm-hmm, that's what it means to me.
Don't give a fuck about today.
But when it's like 6 p.m. and it's dark out and you're hearing them, you're like, are we entering the blood moon? You know, like,
is everything repopping? What's going on?
Did someone kill off fucking God damn it. It doesn't work when I forget. The spider,
sure,
the vacuous spider. Did someone kill
Rom?
Yes.
Yes.
What are we doing here?
Here's hoping.
Rom is hanging out in the sewers. That's why there's always so much construction down below. We're sealing off Rom so he can't get through. All this
man,
to say,
Rom's cool. He didn't do nothing wrong.
He didn't do nothing. He just existed. That's all he did.
And he runs a great tight radio station.
He does. All this to say that, like, to kind of get me through winter, I'm like, you know what's fun and kind of wintry? Harry Potter movies. So I just bought all the Harry Potters in like a really a frugal.
Are they wintry? Yeah, I guess they are.
There's
huh?
always a scene that's in the winter.
Yeah. And
they always have like a Christmas dinner or something.
The main theme with the little fucking bell sounds like a Christmas song.
You're right, yeah.
And I always think that most of them came out in like November, December. I think one or two came
out. Well, that's
summer,
the big Dynasty blockbuster spot now.
Yeah, it is. So we watched like the first two, and I don't think I've ever talked about this because we never played like a Harry Potter game or whatever. Is that like?
Oh, we played one. We played one.
What do
that's
you?
That's true. Well, okay, a one-off where we didn't get to talk about it too much.
That's right.
At the very least, yes, I stand corrected. I always vastly prefer the actor that played Dumbledore in the first two.
Yep.
But
then
he sadly died because he has this like very whispery old man voice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always what I envision in the books. Like Dumbledore is the nicest and the most patient.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably not the actor's fault because the actor that plays Dumbledore later, I think his name is Michael Gambon, who's been in Layer Cake and, you know, a lot of British movies. He's super fucking aggressive in every scene where he's shaking Harry by the shoulders. Like in Goblet of Fire, Harry's like, I didn't put my name in the goblet. He's like, what did you do? And I'm like, that's not what I read in the book. I read in the book that's like, he calmly takes Harry and he's like, Harry, did you do this? Like, no, I believe you. Yeah, I'm loving it. I'm loving how truthful you're being right now. And maybe it's just the actor was given different direction, but he's kind of got this more intimidating, booming voice, and it always never sat with me well.
I feel like those movies split into their own universe because of the actors becoming so popular as a result.
Mm. I mean, they also split into their other universe with their spinoff movie.
Yeah.
So it's true, that's a thing. But I know what you mean, and it sucks because
the original actor, he also played the Emperor in Gladiator, like the one that the old guy, I love him.
Before Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he's like all sympathetic and he's kind of like this frail man.
I told you,
man,
like one of the things I hate the most is when actors get replaced. Like, it's such
a
shame.
There's not much they can do. The original guy died, but...
Yeah, I know. It's like, and unfortunately, Terrence Howard died and then Don Cheadle had to take his place. There was nothing else we could do about it.
I like Don Cheadle better than Terrence Howard. But the fact that it changed is still weird.
It is weird. Yeah.
It's a shame Terrence died.
It's really a shame.
It's a shame.
Hustle and Flow is great.
Damn.
One of the worst ones.
A scene on a plane.
Right? And you go
It's a shame that Tobey Maguire died, and it's a real shame that Andrew Garfield died.
Go watch Boomerang, man, back in the day. Mm. Like, dude was doing it with Eddie Murphy. But there was also the worst, to me, one of the worst ones ever. And like, you're not going to know this one.
Yeah.
But fucking Danny Daenerys' Chicky Poo friend, the dude that hangs around.
I don't remember his name guy.
Dariona Harris.
Sure.
Dariona Harris.
They replaced that actor.
He shows up as a fucking super cool guy in the first couple of seasons. And when he walks in, he's like, he's got the look. He's got the
strut.
He's got the swag. And then when he opens his mouth, he's very quiet. And you're like, ooh, that's not bad.
Okay.
He's a cool guy. And then they replace him with some bearded, brash
that
fucking
guy
asshole.
Just kind of generico.
Because he's super generico. Because the actor that was originally playing him left to do, I want to say, Hitman. And he played Agent 47 in the Hitman reboot movie.
Oh, God.
And you're like, really, man?
So I don't appreciate this, but I did actually want to ask you. My next question was going to be, how's Game of Thrones? Because I know that Mountain has been changed multiple times.
Yes.
It doesn't matter that Mountain is changed
He's so rarely seen that you almost don't even
and
notice.
And all you need is big, giant.
Big
and,
man.
And he spends
and
a lot of his
guy.
Time just wearing full-suited armor.
Yeah, the other
it's
thing.
It's weird, but it's very, like...
The other thing is
like,
that, like, Game of Thrones has, like, an absolutely enormous amount of, like, 80-year-old-plus dudes.
Yeah.
And
as
like,
long as
that's
like, there's a time limit there for sure.
Also, going back to Harry Potter's, the guy that plays the custodian, the evil guy that's always like, I want to torture kids all the time, and has this cat, Mrs. Norris, just a crotchy old guy, is Walter Frey.
Oh,
and I'm like, going back to
Walter
Harry Potter,
Frey.
I'm like,
it's
a fucking Frey.
Of course, he is.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That was me.
That dude is the definition of crotchety.
Like, that is...
He is that
he's also
term
like that
embodied.
Gross video game, like, vendor or, like, crotchety
sure,
old man.
Long
like
nose.
In a Souls game or in, like, an RPG, right. Like a Western RPG or something.
Can't wait to stab you in the liver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know why, but I love the actor that plays Malfoy so much that I'm almost always cheering Malfoy on. I'm like, yeah, come on, you can do it.
Malfoy's a good rival considering how like absurdly evil he is.
And he's such like a wrestling heel.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm the toughest and the best.
Right, right, right.
But also,
right.
Like, he's in the evil plan with real evil, but his evil is always like petty.
Yeah. It's
always it's
like he never wants to cross over to
real
evil.
It's always personal. It's always like, I hate you, and that's why I'm going to do this.
Yeah, well, he's like a Freaks and Geeks villain an Archie villain,
but
in magic school.
I completely forgot this, but his first interaction with Harry Potter ever is like, hey, Harry Potter, you're pretty sick. We at Slytherin are pretty sick. How about you come over to this? He extends that olive branch.
At first.
Yeah.
When they're not even sorted in houses yet.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, you just go over. Look, we got bitches, we got snakes, Voldemort, and then
Harry Potter
just like,
doesn't
no.
want to be my friend,
and then that's when
exactly
now I have to kill
him. Harry's the cause of it all.
El Fuerte won't be my friend. So now
no,
I have
it's because he's wearing a mask, idiot.
I know. I'm trying to modify. That's still my favorite description of a story ever.
Okay, but you know what? At the same time,
oh man,
J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, that's true.
One of the greatest, most hateable fucks for the stupidest reasons ever. And every time they retcon it and update the reasons why, they're always dumber or worse.
And it's better.
And the last one I saw was a cut scene from, I think, 2, where
he wears a costume.
He's wearing the costume and he's zipping around.
I just saw that a few
days
ago,
like,
for the first time.
When the fuck did that happen?
Because it's a cut scene, because remember, he gets the Spider-Man's costume. Like, a guy gives it to him out of the trash. And then that's it. That's all you see. And, like, I don't know whether it's an audio commentary, but apparently the reason they cut it
is because he looked too good in the suit.
And they're like, oh, it looks weird.
Fuck,
it looks too good.
Oh, my God.
J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons, yeah. Like, you can't have him rippling and up-showing fucking
Toby.
Toby
McGuire, yeah.
So, you know.
Anyway,
they cut
J.K.
the scene.
Simmons.
That was me.
Every time he showed up on Law & Order, it was the best.
Yeah, it was always the best.
Because he never told them what they wanted.
But he just told them
is this kid fit for trial? Is he crazy? He's like, he's pretty nuts. But yeah, you can put him on trial, I guess. I don't care. What?
Pay me.
That's
all I'm thinking of is every time they flash back to J. Jonah's wedding where like the bad guy's wearing a mask and then the priest is wearing a mask and he grabs his wife and
his wife is wearing a mask
and he goes, ah!
And he looks in the mirror and he's like...
You know, like, it's just stupid shit. So, anyway.
So, when we talked about that, we were playing Separation Anxiety, and you were like, yeah, it's like his wife gets killed because she was wearing a mask. I don't know. And I'm like, what the fuck? So, I started searching for that clip, and it was a clip I'd never seen.
So,
when I, on the Fox animated Spider-Man cartoon, so when I actually saw the clip, I'm like, I don't remember this at all.
Totally.
I've never heard the explanation.
Totally. He's just
amazing.
Got a thing. You know, and if you had like a more revealing face, then he'd be fine with you.
And he hates people with faces. Then
I don't.
You have a specific face. You can't trust people. Anyway, what about you?
Well, what have you been up to?
You
take me
it.
First. Okay, let's see. Did I watched Thor Ragnarok? I went to the theater. I was just like, fuck it, and I just went by myself. Man, that movie is weird. Like,
it's a little weird.
Like, and I don't mean like the stuff on Zakaar is weird, because that stuff's all great.
Yeah,
but I mean it's weird because half of the movie is awesome and the other half of the movie is boring.
Which half?
The Zakaar stuff and the Planet Hulk stuff is tons of fun.
Yeah,
and it's like one of my favorite Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
Everything to do with the Hela and the main villain is the most boring shit in the world, and it's the most formulaic Marvel thing ever.
Well, that the Asgard stuff.
You need to see the villain and
I did. Oh, you're right.
The Asgard stuff is the part of the movie that's like still Thor.
Yeah,
from the old Thor, and like the
like I would much prefer a Thor.
The gold. It's there's Goldblum injected into it. That's all new movie. And then they have Asgard where
like,
it goes back to
Goldblum
old.
Is so amazing. I feel like he wasn't given lines. They just put him in a costume and just filmed him.
No, they found the planet Sakaar in real life, and Goldblum was there.
Did you stick around?
I did stick around.
Good.
And I know what that is. Mm. And
but even like not even the main teaser, but just like the gag teaser.
Yeah.
At the end is fantastic.
So like that Infinity War trailer actually spoils a lot.
Oh yeah,
like
you shouldn't watch it if you haven't watched
Thor Ragnarok, especially.
I don't know if you haven't watched Thor Ragnarok, it doesn't mean anything.
Well, there's one thing that it certainly means.
But if you haven't watched Thor Ragnarok, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you would just think, oh.
Well, you'd know there'd be some question marks. Where you'd be like, what? Right, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's like fucking hell, man. It's Infinity War. It's like been two decades in the making.
Yeah.
Like
I'm gonna start at movie 22.
Like this, you know, this is one of the few times where it's like, look, you have to understand. This is the conclusion of a 22 movie arc or whatever.
Yeah,
like. You're gonna not understand things if you didn't start somewhere else. If you skipped over or two,
so
you know.
With that, I'm up
wait.
To
by
date.
The way, have you seen them all?
Yes.
Have you seen them all?
Oh, what?
I am completely up to date
of MCU.
Yeah.
All
okay.
Is there anything I missed? I don't think.
Can take
so.
Out.
What about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No.
No.
Okay.
And also, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't actually count.
That's true. They separated it.
Yeah. Well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. counts in the dumbest way possible, in which Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will take what the movies do seriously, but the movies will never take what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does seriously.
Right. And it's weird because it starts with, like, you know, a character that you're like, oh, yeah, of course this is related because fucking Coulson or whatever Coulson is hanging around. Mm-hmm. And then the branch where they decide
to... S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't even a thing in the Marvel.
You know what I feel, though?
Right,
I feel like when you go on long enough and, like, you are, like... It was bad at first and then apparently got better. Mm-hmm. But in the process of continuing to exist, they kind of realized we can't keep writing freely if we're attached.
Apparently, right. Disney just keeps it... It's like ABC, like, is like, we want to end this now. It's not, nobody cares.
Yeah.
And Disney's just like, nope, keep doing it. And they can't do anything about it.
Dude, I saw like a thumbnail of, like, going like, here's the recap of what's happening on The Walking Dead season 8.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck? When did we get here? We're one away from Seinfeld.
You know what's really weird is that, like, like, I read an article that just popped that says, this is the worst ratings Walking Dead has ever had.
Nobody wants it anymore, but it's still alive.
But guess what? It's still millions and millions of people.
Tons.
It's just low for Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So it'll, like,
nope.
Probably still never stop.
People will watch crap forever.
Look at
our channel.
If you're familiar with it, why, you're just going to keep going, right? And nobody likes it anymore. Everyone is just complaining actively. I haven't heard anyone excited.
The only difference is at what, like, everyone that I've talked to that's watched Walking Dead at any point, the only difference is, so when'd you quit?
Yeah, right. And I wonder, I'm like, they must be full on just like ignoring the comics at this point, I assume. I don't know if that's true or not. But I feel like at this point they must have just gone off their own way completely. But not only do they have that going still.
No, what they did was they stretched.
Ah, they Naruto'd.
They stretched.
Yeah.
Because, like, remember two years ago, fucking Chappelle came back and did the Saturday Night Live skit with the governor?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That's how far they got in 6 years.
Okay. Yeah.
To the prison.
You just, dude, it's insane how you can pour water into your OJ forever. It'll all, you know what I mean? And call it OJ.
Yeah.
And then you have a pool with a slight yellow tint to it and call it OJ. Like, it's stupid.
Hey, that's just
right?
Piss.
But not only that, but they get to fucking keep it going by having a spinoff show called Fear the Walking Dead, which I assumed would be like one and done after the pilot, because who wants a fucking stupid spinoff?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's at its fourth season now or whatever.
Wait, what? I totally missed this completely. What is it?
A spinoff series called Fear the Walking Dead takes place during
before.
The fall or slightly before.
Yeah, or something.
And it draws a different cast of characters.
You saw The Cross, right?
And it's three seasons deep now. And it's a completely separate show.
Is that actually...
Separate characters.
Okay, so that's the time period
involved.
That I want to watch. Is it decent?
I don't know. I assume it's still terrible.
Damn it.
And now they're introducing Fear the Walking Dead, Cross Walking Dead.
No. Event, summer...
There's a character that's from Fear the Walking Dead that will show up in Walking Dead.
Okay.
I saw an ad for it.
That's the biggest long-term spoiler conceivable.
I guess you're right. I don't know who it is.
That is the dumbest thing that could ever happen.
Because they take place in different time frames.
I guess. I don't know what
that removes all drama from Fear the Walking Dead, because you know that character's going to be alive like a year in the future.
Unless, like, he walks through a
time
gate.
Portal.
Yeah. He walks into the light and then appears in the other show.
Mm.
And then they're like, oh, Warrior King. We didn't expect you to show up here.
I want there to be a Warrior King that jumps through all AMC shows. Like, shows up in Boardwalk Empire.
Right.
Bring back Boardwalk Empire for one season.
Hanging out behind Eisenberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The Warrior King helps.
That needs to happen. Oh, that's so good. Man.
He shows up on a major network. He purifies the meth formula to get it up to 99.9%.
That's crazy.
And then jumps back through the portal.
No way. Why would he do that?
But not before whatever, his wife falls in love with him, like Chun-Li style. But the Warrior King has to move on.
Within a couple of hours of meeting them.
We need to put it together.
And then just like Jon Snow is about to stab the fucking Night King, and then Warrior King just jumps up.
If we're jumping to HBO now.
Yeah, why not? Why can't it be cross-network?
Everything, everywhere. I mean, quite frankly, like...
Warrior King walks up to D and just fucking knocks over the chessboard, asks where his amulet is.
Warrior King, this is my corner. This is my corner.
Does your uncle have the orb for the Warrior King?
Hey, Warrior King, how my hair look?
Looks good. Looks good.
Man, like, but here's the problem, though. Like, of all that foolishness, Netflix actually has the power to do that.
They would do it.
And they can do it in such a way where they can just insert, like, character into shot of existing footage.
Just in Master of None, you see him in there, then Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Like, let's say they wanted to just push BoJack a little harder, and then they just edited BoJack into Friends.
Why not?
Who can stop them?
All they gotta do is have, like, a character, and they digitally alter it so they're wearing a BoJack t-shirt or something.
It'll be so easy.
Instead of the Christmas armadillo, Ross is wearing the Christmas BoJack costume.
Yeah, you know, whatever. Yeah. Done and done.
Hey, Phoebe, who's your friend? Oh, this is BoJack!
I mean, like, nowadays they have that almost
smelly
seamless
BoJack.
Oh,
smelly
man,
BoJack.
I like the bad cuts.
What are they feeding you?
Oh, you know that there are sites out there where they can, like, 100% take, I think it's like a sample of your voice talking for 2 or 3 minutes.
And then they digitize
it. And then they digitize and go, we got you.
It's the Vocaloid shit.
And they do tests with presidents and they do tests with actors and they kind of play it back.
Oh, I don't like this.
And it's like, yep, that's out there. And of course, the more data you feed it, the more
powerful
realistic
it gets.
And
there's like 10,000 hours of us talking.
Oh, yeah, we're done.
Are we digitized now?
And not only are we digitized, but you've seen that rival LP channel with the fucking...
We're kind of YouTube Vocaloids.
Like Vocaloid type girl AI thing.
What's a Virtue AI?
Yeah, well, don't give them plugs.
What?
No.
It's cool.
Yeah,
it's
Virtue AI,
girl.
Exactly. So, like, if they can just take little, like, two snacks versions of us and then digitize our voices, what the fuck are we good for?
Not much.
Our genes are superior... Genetics?
Yeah.
You look at these fine specimens of mans we got over here.
Yeah, there you go. You know, you can't teach a robot all of our humor. You can't teach a robot...
You can't teach him to say dicks.
A robot doesn't need to go to the bathroom, so it will never have a story about pissing itself in bed.
Yeah.
Take that, robot!
A robot would steam its own head and it would blow up just at the thought of that.
But robots are super good at being racist.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Yeah, because they have no fear.
Super good.
It's the natural, logical progression.
I mean... You've heard the stats.
Oh, yeah.
You've heard the number.
I was there.
There's that fucking... Like, I forgot who some comedian was telling a joke where they're just like, if you took RoboCop and programmed him to stop all crime as much as possible.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's so fucking bad. All right, let's move on.
All right, so let's see. What I did play was Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
How is a Xenoblade
so
Chronicles
I have a,
2?
Oh, boy, I have some things to say. One, game's great. Very much a sequel to the first Xenoblade. Doesn't feel like Chronicles X at all.
Good.
Very highly characterized, super anime.
Very anime.
I heard your
even.
Favorite character is in it now.
So,
did you get your Cosmos from your favorite franchise?
Did you hear what I did when I heard about that?
No.
Okay, so Cosmos is a rare blade. The long story short is that there's an in-game rarity system where you get cores and you unlock the core, and it's kind of like an in-game no-money loot box. And what could it be? Oh, is it a good core? And cores are your class, basically.
Yep.
And if it's a generic one, it just looks like a generic armored person. And if it's a rare one, it's its own character designed by nearly all, I think, guest designers.
Yeah.
And one of them is Cosmos.
Right.
And
oh, I think in Cosmos was a guest designer.
No. And
Nomura
when somebody, like... The night before the game came out, a friend of mine said, "Hey, Pat, check this out," and sent me the video of unlocking Cosmos. And I curled up my little baby fists and, like, punched my couch for, like, a minute, like, kind of, like, idiot yelling at how fucking bullshit and unfair it is that fucking trash Xenosaga series keep... I don't even know how to describe why this upsets me, but it's like if Street Fighter never existed, say Street Fighter 2 happened and you love Street Fighter 2, right?
Yeah.
And then Street Fighter the movie came out.
The game.
Yeah, Street Fighter the movie, the game came out.
Yeah.
And then every single Capcom game afterwards would only include Street Fighter the movie characters and not Street Fighter 2 characters.
Right.
Like, so that's,
personally, I would love that.
Like, yeah, I know, and you're just, so would I. But,
so no matter what happens, you're just looking at a texture that says not Faye.
Not Faye, not Ellie, not anything. And it's so fucking infuriating. That being said, the game's really cool. The battle system's a lot more involved than the first game. There's a lot more going on. There's some art and localization problems with that game.
What do you mean?
One, everything in the game is like anime trash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the main character has like a weird diving suit. And when he goes to dive, it's like a kind of a Big Daddy looking thing. He's got the diving helmet and he's got a full armor.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's not diving, he takes his pants off, but not the armor. So he's just walking around with like metal assless chaps.
Okay.
That sounds
good. Can look at this somewhere. It's easy. And Pyrrha's design is awful. She's like the most anime waifu trash thing ever. And like,
so Cosmos is right at home.
Yeah. No, like there's one really amazing design that I know you would love because it's like a military Naoto.
Dope.
But like almost every design is just crap anime trash. Well, and it's a bummer.
That's kind of the problem with, since they hired multiple character concept artists, that there's not a cohesive.
But I
saw a Nomura design from the game that I thought was quite good. I was like, whoa, that's pretty sharp.
But otherwise, Nomura, you're going back to Soul Calibur 4.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's
Shezera Hezerazad.
And it's just like, it's fucking weird and tonally dissonant with each other. And the characters don't look like they actually inhabit the world that they live in.
That's the worst. That is the worst.
But also, like Pyrrha's design is Pyrrha is the main female character. She's the partner character. She's there the whole time. And her design is awful. Like, just the fucking, the weird showing skin here, but totally covered there. Anime waifu trash bait thing. Mm-hmm. And it's to the point, there's a clip on the subreddit of when I was streaming it. To hide her identity, you throw a coat on her at one point, and it's a generic coat. And her design is like 10 times better just by putting the coat on.
It's because you have to certain franchises are like all about exploding with anime appeal.
Yeah.
And like they're trying to get a certain audience.
And it's not that they're like, it's not that they're like, oh, the characters all look hot or whatever. It's like the characters all look like pandering trash.
Yeah.
Like Dead or Alive has more class than this. And the other fun thing, and this is a plus, even though it's terrible, is the English localization is...
I heard Scottish localization?
It is all of it. So I don't know what I don't know what they fucking told the localization company, but it's the whole of the British Isles.
Whoa.
And the main character,
the Scots ruined anime.
So the main character, Rex, I have been told apparently this is his real accent, but he has one of those drifting accents that switches from London to North to Scottish to Irish. It's all over the place. And then your main voice actor, who has a lot of Japanese hot-blooded yells, has the worst English yell I have ever heard in a video game.
That's a really bold statement.
I will try and emulate it. The text for him is, he is screaming and attacking the villain while, you know, swinging his sword around. And it is A, repeating, I... Y-A-H, right? Aya, right?
Mm-hmm.
He pronounces it like this. Aya. And he does it again later in the cutscene, and it's even worse. It's so bad.
Correct me if I'm wrong about this, because I don't know whether it's this game or whether it's Fire Emblem Warriors. Does this not have Japanese voice packs?
It does.
Okay, but...
There's a different problem with that I'll get to in just a second. Okay. Also, some of the characters are just American for some reason.
Sure.
There's a character who actually has the most intense Welsh accent. accent I've heard in anything, and that's actually quite good. But it's mainly like the main character and like what country are these people supposed to, because they're all from, it's all over the place.
When you say wandering British accent, like, because they, there's so many versions.
I spoke to Klemps about this,
yeah,
because he would know. We can't pin down where this guy is from, because sentence to sentence,
yeah,
he changes location. He sounds like an amalgamation of England,
right? Because the way God, what's his fucking name? Talks, the way like the way anyone in Snatch talks, for example,
yeah,
is you're like Cockney almost,
yeah,
sounding
East
whatever,
End,
right?
Crap.
Exactly,
yeah,
which is completely different from like Ozzy Osbourne and the
No, I'm saying this character switches between like three or four.
Do they go like BBC?
Like he switches from like a generic like Queen's English to like Scottish, like fucking fat bastard level,
wow,
pronunciation,
okay,
with like from scene to scene. And it's crazy. And the problem with that is that, okay, so that's hilarious. And if you love hilariously bad anime voice acting, that's good
I
for
do.
You. And I do, so I'm leaving it on. But say you want to switch to the Japanese dub, right? Which you totally can.
Download the pack.
Nothing outside of the cutscenes is subtitled. So all ambient dialogue, all battle dialogue, all like it's all gone.
Okay.
And that sucks.
Well, are you really missing anything important during that? Or do you like, do your characters have conversations outside of cutscenes?
Little barks.
Your
I
characters
imagine.
Have full conversations outside
then,
of cutscenes.
Then that's a problem.
Well, you know, WRPGs, and Matt, you probably know this as well, the Baldur's Gate style is you go to a town and every half an hour your characters will have a little 3-4 sentence interlude.
Yeah, yeah.
The characters do that in Xenoblade and it's not subtitled.
That's stupid. Mm.
And that's, it sucks. So if you can play with objectively better voice acting, but you miss out.
Yeah.
Or you can play with hilarious bad voice acting, which is mainly the main character, honestly. Everybody else seems fine.
It sounds to me like such a huge omission that they just tried to get this in there before launch and maybe it'll be patched in, but who knows.
Street Fighter 4 got it right. Character specific.
Oh, yeah. Have just one. Rex.
What, your main guy is speaking Japanese and everyone else is speaking English.
Also, everybody's names got changed from one version to the other, which is super weird.
That happens.
Yeah, but like,
yeah, but is it for logistical purposes?
Well, the characters in many cases had like super Japanese names.
B's.
There was a character named Yoshitsune that got their name changed, and the main villain's name got changed from Shin to Jin.
Yeah, what's the point of that?
What
change?
Is the point of
that's
that?
That's pointless.
They're both,
yeah,
like cool guy
what's,
names.
What's wrong with, well, I mean, you can go Yoshitsune or you can go Yoshitsune. But
yeah.
What's, that's
well,
fine.
Well, they got changed to like Malos or something.
Okay.
like wild changes.
Yeah.
The other problem with the English dub is that the English dub is a total like reinterpretation of the text. So like, and you can see it in the voice acting. So there's a scene in which a character gets stabbed. And you can see on their Japanese lip sync that they are screaming like crazy and going, ah, ah, fuck. And in English, they do the quiet, like, I got
owned.
And it's totally different. Like a bunch of scenes have had their contexts completely changed.
Damn.
It's super weird. Game's fun. But yeah, all that shit is super weird. It's fun to watch because it's so inconsistent.
Keeps you guessing.
Hmm. Yeah, Treehouse localization. That's.
I'm not even sure if it might have been them because the last couple of games weren't even them. Like the big RPGs, like Last
Story. I thought all the British
and
stuff was based on them.
Nintendo of Europe, actually.
Okay, but bye.
I don't know whether this one was Treehouse or not, but like the last two RPGs, because Xenoblade, the original on the Wii, was definitely Nintendo of Europe. Pretty sure Last Story was done by Exceed, and even then I think Nintendo of Europe might have
so it was completely unrelated, but it was just coincidence that we ended up with all these British sounding like dubs.
Then they were like put in, now that they want to localize this, maybe the Treehouse or whatever,
because
Xenoblade, they were like, well, I guess we have to have tons of British voice acting.
And it was the same, but it wasn't, didn't they share actors as well? Didn't Xenoblade, yeah, I'm pretty sure that Xenoblade
remember.
And Last Story shared voice actors
maybe,
to
maybe.
Some degree.
But, I mean, that's common.
So, I thought it was like the idea was like almost like Ocean Group shows up in Canada, and suddenly we start hearing Scott McNeil everywhere. Like I think it was that I felt it was one of those situations where it's like, okay, like a dub gang showed up,
the dub gang,
right? Stopped, dropped, and opened up shop.
The British dub gang.
Yeah. Have you seen anime crimes division?
I saw the first episode, yeah.
Yeah, with Pro ZD.
Yes.
Yeah, cool. That was pretty fun. Dubs versus subs for life. I love it. It was good. Have you seen that, by the way?
I have not, unfortunately. I didn't realize it came out. I saw the previews and all that, and then it kind of left my brain.
There's some good bits. They're doing good work.
Pro ZD was the right person to choose.
He was the right person to choose, absolutely. Good job, Rocket Jump.
We love you, Pro ZD.
And more, you know who we love more than Pro ZD? Mm. The mustache that he wears.
Yeah.
That's the real MVP.
That's the character.
The real MVP is the fucking little mustache that, like, the Pringles mustache that he puts on. And it's like, that thing gets work.
Gets play, gets use.
Good times. Yeah.
That's it for me, man.
Okay. I guess I didn't have a ton of time to play things. I did play a bit of that game we talked about last week that was not unlike Darkest Dungeon in Space.
Oh, the
Deep Sky Derelicts.
Yeah.
I played a bit of that, and it's not that I wanted It's not that I wanted exactly Darkest Dungeon. I really happen to like that game.
Mm-hmm.
But what is there is it's early, not done yet, and I felt like I wasn't having as much fun with the combat system. I didn't realize that it was card-based.
Oh, I didn't get that from the screenshots
so,
at all.
So, yeah, every character has a deck that you're rolling through, and at certain points you have to, like, skip a turn to draw more cards type thing.
I hate cards.
And you don't have a full control over what abilities you're going to be playing. And so you kind of have to like go like, all right, I have two buffs in my hand and two attacks. And then you spend both. And then it's like, okay, now you're just down to buffs. And you need a heal here or you need to do something here or blah or whatever. And you can't because, you know, it's And
sounds like Pazok.
It sounds like the – I mean, and that system is meant to – you know, it adds like sort of difficulty to it and a level of random. But I wasn't having a ton of fun with that. The art is still really fantastic, of course. Mm-hmm. And it, the way you move around and explore things as well, unfortunately, is really budget limited as well because you don't actually walk around any environments. You have a map that's a bunch of grids and you click on one and then you exit your map screen and you're in a new location.
Okay.
And whatever's in that location is either a person standing there that you have a conversation with, an object that you pick up, or a battle.
Yeah, that seems fairly limited.
Right, and that's what you're doing. There's no actual movement or exploration or walking around or anything. And you just kind of like, once you finish with that screen, you go back to the map grid, right? Click a new square or uncover more and then see what happens. So... Yeah, I got a bit tired of it fairly quickly, unfortunately, and that sucks because...
Well, that's unfortunate.
There's some really cool class types and some really interesting, like, ideas going on where you have, you know, you can your class types are a bit like a bit like your Darkest Dungeon class types, and you can pick, like, the portrait and the name, and you can customize a bit more than you can with Darkest Dungeon in some ways. But, unfortunately, I think it's either a bit too early, but also...
Does it have anything cool going on, like style or like story-wise, or is it just kind of basic?
Story was, at least in the early parts of the game, really, really like cut and dry. It was like generic Weyland Yutani type mission giver is sending you out to a place, and then you have a star chart, and you pick which one you want to go to, right. And then an RNG, map appears, and then you do the thing. In it, you'll run into like some side quests, and then you find a thing, and then you go back to base, and then you click the next one.
Okay.
So yeah, I kind of feel like it's unfortunate because there's a lot of really good ideas that are not gelling together as nicely as they should. Mm. So that's kind of what I was able to do. And I guess I'll bring it up here is some of what I was doing as well is planning for my trip. Because
what?
I'm going to be out in New Zealand.
Middle Earth.
For the end of the year.
How is Middle Earth?
/ beginning of the year. It's actually, I hear, warm at this time of year.
That's because
it's summer there.
It's on the wrong side of the planet.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, we get to fly.
I think.
I get to fly into the past.
There
while...
you go. Yeah.
It's 3:36.
No, into the future. I fly into the future.
It's 3:36 next Wednesday.
And... I get and enjoy the not cold, so that's gonna be fun. So probably gonna have a like, you know, meetup thing in one of those major cities. I
in
don't know
Kiwi
either
Town?
In either Auckland, Wellington, or what's the other big one? Queenstown, I think. So I don't know where yet.
You know, before you do, go into our metrics and just click by country. You're gonna see the one guy's house.
Yeah, one Kiwi guy.
But
like,
he probably loves the shit out of us.
Hey. He's got all the t-shirts.
prove me wrong, New Zealand.
Yeah. No.
So I don't know much about New Zealand. Is it lethal like Australia, its neighbor?
No. It okay, so
but
here's
there are more sheep per than people.
Okay, so here's
cool.
here's some,
I think that's the
here's
true.
What it is. Okay. New Zealand is the smaller but more polite, mm-hmm. nicer, and generally more pleasant neighbor to Australia.
Okay.
It is not unlike the relationship that Canada and America have,
except we're really big.
So the idea of
in terms of space.
So yeah. there was a moment where Australians and Americans online on like I guess Reddit or whatever got together and created Ameristralia, which was like basically like celebrating all the things they had in common.
Uh huh.
And in response to that, New Xanada was born.
Ooh, New Xanada sounds awesome.
Because we both understand what it means to be
the hat countries.
Yeah, but we're generally a nicer place overall, and people like us and don't hate us as much as they hate you guys. So that's cool. And I thought that was pretty dope sounding. So like yeah, the idea is basically.
So you're going over to
it's not full
to
on
start
danger
the new
town.
Xanada deal.
I mean, I'll do what I can. I'll do what I can. I'll try to get the right people in the
both
room.
Regions of the world destroyed by Gundams.
But the idea is that it is there's no drop bears, right?
Mm. As far as you know,
just lots of really pleasant like Hobbit Town like vistas and such.
You
and,
should talk to some Team Four Star guys because they just went down there a few weeks ago.
Oh,
so
cool.
Maybe they can, you know, help you out.
And give some tips. Yeah. And hey, Flight of the Conchords. You like those guys.
I have no idea what that is.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It's the people that made Thor Ragnarok.
Got it.
They're
and
very, very
and what we
funny.
Do in the shadows.
Yeah. They're like Tenacious D with accents. With funny accents. And they're very, very funny. And I think you'd like them. But anyway.
Everybody in the Commonwealth talks goofy but us. Woo!
Everybody surrounding
Mario.
Us talks goofy,
but us.
Yeah.
We have the one true accent.
I mean, we do emulate television, you know?
I think we emulate television.
Well, and television was kind of like originally they'd always try to have a non-accented accent, right? Like a
right.
neutral.
The Mid-Atlantic,
exactly. So you know where that's going.
Yes.
Like back in the day, the aha,
yes,
let's
the
see
fucking,
here. That
the fake, not real place accent.
Exactly. The old American spirit was a not place that
yeah.
you would be like,
it's for
oh,
newscasters.
I guess that is not too Yankee, but also not too Southern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like in America, and then I guess at some point it just became generic and bland, and that's kind
well,
of what
like
we
the
have.
Our Anglophone Montreal Canadian accent is bizarre and unique to hear, basically. So,
but it's because there's nothing to it, really. I mean, because you can get if you go slightly outside the province into Ontario
or the other direction,
you get into the either Acadian like really strong thick weirdness bush, or you get into the Abutsinays.
So I was talking to Clumps about
the
accents in fucking England, right?
Yeah.
About the Xenoblade shit.
Yeah.
It came to mind that he had never heard of what a Newfoundlander is.
Ugh.
So if you're from
I'm still not even sure
anywhere, go find yourself
examples of the Newfie accent. Yeah. It's a trip.
It's gibberish. It's something else.
What nice people. But what the fuck? It's like the closest analogy I can think of is like the fucking Parkies from Snatch. Or Trailer Park Boys times 1,000.
There's someone in my girlfriend's family that like is from Newfoundland and like has a very light accent. It's mostly like contained, you know what I mean? It's like, it comes up like burps.
Yeah.
But when she gets angry,
then
it really kicks in, and then like the English starts just bleeding into, I don't know what those words were.
Yeah.
I want to fix this problem, but
it's,
I can't understand you.
It's not Welsh or Irish or Acadian. It's Newfie.
It's what happens when Vikings land and then leave. And then, like...
It's what happens when you have a community of drunk fishermen that are left to their own devices for, like, 300 years.
Basically. There's that, too.
It's like the fishing village from Bloodborne.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what happened.
And then the government comes down and says, you can't keep fishing out the costs anymore.
It's Canadian.
The what? Well, some say...
Cosm, but it's...
You mean the cod?
We have lots of that.
It's Canadian. It's Canadian Innsmouth.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It really is. There's no other comparable place.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess there's that. Not much else. I think. I was trying to remember. I think I started a show, but whatever.
Next week, you guys have to listen to me talk about Destiny.
Because
there's an expansion tomorrow.
Okay.
Happy birthday!
What is this?
Since you said I don't already have all that Neo Geo art, I did pick this one up for you as a fellow.
Thank you!
As a fellow box art critiquer,
this is Super Famicom,
the box art collection. It's every single box art from the Super Famicom.
That is awesome! Let's take a look. Wow! Oh my god.
Because I had a second volume of the Neo Geo one waiting.
Listeners, why don't you take a look at this beautiful art book?
Thank you so much, dude. And then during the podcast when you were like, well, I already have a lot of Neo Geo box art, Neo Geo artwork. And I'm like, oh, let me see if they have anything else.
Picture of the fucking Jim Henson Star Fox Brigade. That we'll never see again.
And what's really great in the little descriptions, they always throw shade on the American box art.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's perfect.
Even ones that are clearly superior in the West, they're like, nah, fuck that, though.
Well, clearly, because the name of this book is Super Famicom, the box art collection.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of Japanese beneath it. So they don't want to fucking hear nothing about your SNES.
Yeah.
Look at this Fire Pro cover over here, full of glory.
Look at it, audio listeners. Look at it.
The piss and vinegar in this man. Okay, well, you can go Google it. It's Super Fire Pro Wrestling X. Thank you so much, dude.
No problem. And it's also kind of a smallish book, so like, hopefully you have room for it or whatever. Oh, there you go. Because I've been in your place. I've seen that your shelves are bursting, so...
They are quite potent.
We're going to get to the news, I assume.
In just a second,
I'm assuming at least one of us has received news of something that has happened.
Like just now?
Right now?
Well, it's birthday time for Wooly.
Excuse me?
I didn't get this
news. Okay, I'm not even going to say it. Just maybe you should look it up all yourselves.
Okay, all right. I'm going to see what's happening on the news feeds. What's
seeing happening? The Mega Man thing.
What's happening on the feeds? We're checking. Get equipped with Mega Man 11 coming to Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
There's a trailer.
Okay.
Looks pretty sick.
All right. You did that right now?
It just happened right now.
Okay. Well,
the other thing, every single Mega Man X game is coming to every console and PC throughout the year.
Yep.
1 to 8.
Collection. Yep.
Okay. We're taking a look over here.
Oh, wow. That looks different. That looks real, real different.
Because while we're starting this podcast, the Mega Man 30th anniversary stream
was going off. And I saw those cool cards that like they were giving out. And I saw like Aaron got one. And I was like, oh, man, it plays the Mega Man
music. The trailer for 11 looks real nuts.
We're looking at it right now.
Oh, man.
2018.
Okay. We're watching. Oh. Whoa, really?
Yeah. Okay. Mega Man is now, classic Mega Man will now be in 3D.
Oh, shit.
Or 2.5D.
Yeah, but it looks real cartoony and nice.
I thought they were going to go back to 8-bit again, like Mega Man 9 and 10.
I would rather of them not at this point.
Cause yeah, because they did it twice.
Yeah.
You know?
Now that Mighty Number 9 Stink is behind us, it is time to make a real game.
They must have started the answer way back then.
It looks quite good. It kind of looks like, not kind of like sort of powered up, Mega Man powered up a little bit, but with like...
Proper proportions.
Kind of like Mega Man 8 style, actually.
I really, really like the shading on it.
Yeah. And it's got the little classic, like, cute villain faces.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not like X or anything.
Whoa.
There's some sort of powered up form. It's got a bar on it, and he's got a...
Oh, my God.
He's got a V-trigger.
Late next year.
Late 2018 Mega Man 11. Holy shit.
Hey, look, Mega Man's not dead anymore, guys.
How about that?
This reminds me of...
Trigger sure is, but...
Of Metroid
Prime. Oh, yeah, he's stuck on
Metroid
the move forever.
Prime 4 and Samus Returns just being announced simultaneously. It's like, it's dead, huh? It's dead? How about this? And how about this, too?
Yeah, how about go fuck yourself?
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
Now, where's my Dragon's Dogma?
Where's my Dragon's... One just came out.
No.
One just came out.
Wow.
No.
It didn't?
Where's my new Dragon's Dogma?
That's your Dragon's Dogma. Oh, sorry, you get Devil May Cry 5 instead.
Which, actually, I have a strong suspicion will actually play more like Dragon's Dogma.
We read that in the rumors last week. So.
What are the odds that the new villain is...
Dragon's Dogma.
Now that Dr.
like a game box.
Wily's God Forever, and the new villain is Funa Inne.
Ooh.
Evil businessman.
How about it? Right? Wants to.
I would love for it to be
wants
direct.
To mobilize and cash out on the robot craze.
I want it to be direct and hilarious. I want it to be, hey, I'm going to make a new Mega Man that's even better than Dr. Light's Mega Man, but I need your donations.
Yeah.
And then he makes.
And then he makes.
Then he makes a Maverick.
Then he makes. Then he makes Mega Man.
Yeah.
And then Mega Man is the hero for a minute.
And then you go to fight Mega Man, and he just falls apart.
but he actually is sad because he never had the love that Dr. Light gave.
And then the anime is... Sorry, Mega then the Man. Ending is the Mega Man anime that somehow got funded.
And the creator vanishes into the shadows with all that money. Yeah.
For
what a concept.
3DS version still isn't out.
That's incredible.
What a concept.
Man, we've come a long way since that first podcast where we're talking about my number nine.
Like, oh, I didn't know that you could go full circle and then beyond. And I think, like, we've completed full circle. And
we're
then,
on lap.
Yeah, we started going up. Like, we're creating a line now off of the dot point.
Like a tangent.
And who knows where that tangent's going. But Mega Man 11 is real and it's happening. And that's... crazy to me.
Golf clap. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Capcom, can we get back to Cap God? DMC5 is a good start. Actually, no, this is a good start. DMC5 is a good follow up.
Mm, yeah, it is.
I haven't heard the word Cap God in.
Since the 360.
Well, I mean.
Holy fuck.
Well, let me put it to you this way, right?
Wow.
We have Mega Man 11. If that's good, then thumbs up. We have.
Ari's back.
Resident Evil's
Devil
back,
May,
and
Devil
it's
May
good
Cry's
to its
back.
Roots.
Yeah.
We got Devil May Cry being the game we want. Monster Hunter is finally on a console, which people have been asking for forever. And it's also getting day-and-date localized.
It was a messy start, but if Season 3 of Street Fighter V fixes things, there might be some...
Marvel's fun to play.
I mean, that needs the rehaul, too.
There's potential.
There's potential. Marvel's still in a rough place, and Dragon Ball is going to eat its ass for dinner. But, like, at the very least.
Oh, who even cares about Dragon Ball? It's coming out the same day as Monster Hunter. Who even has time?
But at the very least, I was going to say, all of those
Thank
things...
Thank you for that. That's what I wanted.
All of those games that are on the Capcom like franchise top list, you know, like top-selling list,
mm-hmm.
Are back in... Or can get back to respectable standing.
That's right.
It only took them a decade and a half to do
only
it.
Only two questions remain in my mind. What the fuck
Bionic
is...
Commando? I know, right?
No. What the fuck is
Dark
up with...
Void? I know, right?
No one's asking that. You know that.
Flock. We got to get back to Flock.
Got to get back to Commando, Wolves of the Battlefield.
No.
Maybe Martian Men.
Real question, though, is...
1942?
What the fuck is up with the Phantaray engine? Does that even exist?
I don't think so.
Because they... I like if you look at Monster Hunter World and even like Monster Hunter World's on Empty Framework again because that engine's awesome.
Yeah, Japan loves Empty Framework.
And where would deep down, huh? What,
yeah.
Where? Mm. Wow.
Also, they announced that the both Mega Man Legacy collections that were not on the Switch will now be on the Switch.
Matt, can I just say as an aside that I'm disappointed that none of us got Spyborgs out in that little exchange.
Yeah, I think we should be more disappointed in Matt because he's the Spyborgs go-to.
I'm actually forgetting all about it. Like, it's not even in my wheelhouse.
Well, you
anymore.
Know why? You know why you're forgetting
about
it?
It used to be on the quick draw. It used to be on your L1, L1 button.
It used to be in my make everyone's eyes roll Rolodex.
Well, here's the thing. I know exactly why you
like
forgot
Matt,
about
Matt
Spyborgs.
Matt had Spyborgs set to his quick button on his D-pad.
The reason why you forgot about Spyborgs is Christian Svensson no longer works at Capcom.
So why
Svensson?
Bring it up?
So there's nothing. No one to like bug far away by the mention of Spyborgs.
Sven's gone, Dahlgren's gone.
I think there was a time where Combo I was like, man, I'm going to make Wooly play Spyborgs with me. It's going to be great. And then I never asked him. And then I was like, yeah, Spyborgs. And then I was like, Spy? Now I say nothing. Like, I didn't even have the drive, the passion to bring it up again.
Fucking Kenny sends a message. Did you guys hear about the new Mighty Number 9?
Fucking Kenny!
It's going to be a long time before something this topsy-turvy happens where it's like, hey, this thing's dead. We're bringing it back. Oh, we did maybe not a great job. If this even turns out to be, like, good.
Don't worry about it. Beyond Good and Evil 2 has got your back on that.
Par. You don't need no bogey. No eagle.
I think it has to be better than Mega Man 10. It's all, like, honestly.
Yeah. Be as good as 9.
Be as good as 9.
Don't be a weird, awkward, cheap 3D feeling.
It actually looks pretty solid.
Looked fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of Mega Man 8, which is not...
Yeah.
You know, it's whatever. Visually, it did.
Clown. Visually. Yeah.
Well, that's a good way to start the news. Hey, look at that.
Yeah. You can talk about Mega Man and bass.
Thanks, CapGod.
A.K.A. Rock and bass, but you know,
no,
we're garbage. So,
I want to, we
can't appreciate.
I don't
that.
Think I've ever had the chance to say this, but I can't stand that Mega Man's name was the only one they changed,
and everyone else,
and Mega Man and Proto Man, right? Roll and Rush and fucking Bass and Treble, got to keep their musical names,
yeah, but we got,
but Rock and Blues didn't,
nope.
Like, why didn't you change them all to a new theme?
Why?
Or
yeah,
Mega Up or whatever the fuck.
Because somebody
probably looked at it and said, "But the children will be confused why this red helmet character is named Blues." And then that was the end of it.
Because he's fucking.
How
cool.
Come this name is Rockman, but he's not a rock?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
What happens if he fights Stone Man? Do they kiss?
Yes.
It's a lot of work to figure all this shit out.
It is.
If they did, I would hope that they would be smooth shaved so that there's no gruff and rough cheek rubbing.
Can you shave a rock?
Unfortunately,
there's no...
You would need an incredible razor.
You need a pretty good razor to shave a rock.
You would need
Mega Man demands the best.
Of the best to shave something that's basically not alive.
And also has no hair.
Well...
I mean, fun fact, Mega Man actually huge beard. He just shaves every day.
Every day.
Using what kind of razor, perhaps? I don't know. We can't really say what Capcom
maybe not
would
by,
write in.
Maybe not.
But I know what I'd suggest.
Maybe yes. Not Dr. Light.
But maybe another doctor. Maybe there's a doctor who can step in.
But is there some sort of Cadillac of men?
Maybe Dr. Cossack?
No, no, no. Dr. Doppler?
Wiley?
No. There's only
Wowie?
One.
Dr. Wowie? Dr. Kaba?
Oh, no.
Dr. Carver.
There you go.
The only doctors that you should care about right now. The only doctor that matters. Right now.
That may not be appropriate.
There might be some.
Right now.
There are people listening to this podcast in the hospital.
For the next 3 minutes,
okay.
The only
okay.
doctor that matters right. is Dr. Carver.
I think
and the
I
reason
think
why is because when I say shave, you say
butter.
Shave.
Yeah. Butter.
Listen, what are we talking about? We're talking about Dollar Shave Club. What you want to do is get an excellent quality razor. You want to get travel size shave butter. You want to get body cleanser, butt wipes, everything that you need delivered straight to your door.
I'm getting low on butt wipes.
Right? Even replacement cartridges for just as low as $5. That's the DSC starter set.
That's ridiculous.
It's crazy how much value you're getting out of that. That's a good doctor doing what a good doctor should do.
Do.
Yeah.
What good doctor do.
Absolutely. Dr. Carver, MD.
Yeah.
The man himself. Right?
Licensed and accredited.
Absolutely. You walk up to one of those like teleport like vision chambers.
Yeah.
And then like a blue light appears. Mm-hmm. And then who is it? Is it Dr. fucking Light?
No.
It's Carver. And what does he do?
Slap this butter on your face, Mega
Man. He lathers you up and then goes back to the future.
Yeah.
Because that's where he belongs.
You got smooth skin.
It's there the
you
only go. Upgrade you need.
So, hey, and if you want to get in on that amazing shaving experience and not be treated like a piece of shit, because that's what the big razor does when you go to the pharmacy to try and buy a razor, you just want to get what you need straight to your door every month.
You ever go to the barber?
It's terrible.
You know why? Because they're going to cut your hair. They're going to shave you. But guess what? When you're looking the other way, they could spit on you. You don't know.
Yeah.
And when you leave, they're going to talk shit about you and your whole family and gossip all over the place.
Yes. I mean, that's
plus,
what you
everyone
do.
Knows most barbers work for Big Razor.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you kind of, you're like, oh, maybe they're kind of cool because we can learn how to, like, sing.
Yeah.
And do a cool, like, B-sharps thing. But not even. Those days are gone.
No, man.
These days, it's all about dollarshaveclub.com/friendcast. You want to head on over to there and get in on your DSC starter set. As mentioned, you get the replacement cartridges as well as the shave butter, the body cleanser, and yes, even butt wipes. That's dollarshaveclub.com/friendcast. Thank you.
Thanks, Dollar Shave Club.
Thank you, Dr. Carver.
Thank you, Dr. Cabo.
Dr. Cabo.
Oh, man.
Wowie.
Yeah. Wowie indeed.
I hope to God, like, there's probably no one at Capcom that would be willing to do this, but if I had to hope for anything from Mega Man 8, that it has cutscenes with, like, horrible dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
Like, horribly acted.
That'd be cool.
No way.
But
Before that,
the podcast is also sponsored by the good boys down at Loot Crate.
Mm-hmm.
What is a Loot Crate?
A Loot Crate is not the kind of unfortunate terminology going on in the news these days that
it's very
is
different.
All about, like, bilking you.
Yes.
For things you don't know or understand that you don't even need.
We're not talking about loot boxes. We're talking about loot crates.
I don't know that I don't understand this.
You know, there's a lot of bad going around with the word loot these days, but the good is coming from Loot Crate. You're getting for less than $20 a month a crate that contains basically a con experience in a box. You're getting 100% exclusive items heading straight to your door with a different theme every month. December's theme.
What do we got?
Oh, that's something that I'm going to be doing soon. Explore.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Explore.
So December's theme is all about broadening your horizons with things from, I don't know, Destiny 2.
Hey.
I don't know, Guardians of the Galaxy.
They explore once.
That's the broadest possible horizon.
Maybe a few mystery franchises. Who knows?
Ooh.
You've got to explore your options by heading on over to lootcrate.com/friendcast.
He's doing the hand thing.
I hope you put like a fucking rainbow filter.
Sorry, I spoke over that. Where do you go?
lootcrate.com/friendcast. Enter the code friendcast. Save $3 on that new subscription. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and explore your new Loot Crate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good theme. That'll go places.
It's good and broad.
Explore the crate.
Beyond? You're telling people to die. That's not a good thing. Don't do that.
No, I said explore the crate.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said explore the grate.
No.
I heard explore the grave.
Okay.
No, all the right. crate.
No. Stay alive so that you can
especially
enjoy.
Get that mega crate.
You can That's enjoy that
exploring.
Mega crate. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You need
you
to
get
be alive
lost
for that.
In that thing.
Please don't die. Hang on.
No, please. Don't tell anyone it was us.
Stay alive and head on over to lootcrate.com/friendcast and enter code friendcast. Thank you, Loot Crate.
Thanks, Loot Crate.
Thank you.
So in the news,
Mega Man.
I have to admit,
what's Mega Man 11 canceled?
Oh, sorry, everybody.
I have to admit,
that was fun though for about 20 minutes.
The lightest. So that trailer was delivered with the lightest sprinkling of sodium, like. Lightest, like, you know, like the waiter came over and just kind of twisted a little, you know, over the trailer for just a second.
But why sodium?
Because, right, I think I talked about it maybe once or twice before, but I want to live in the world where Mega Man 9 and I guess possibly 10 link to
X. I don't want to hear this. Not again.
The world where X
is... Shut up.
The world where X is a Roman numeral.
X is not 10.
You know? That would have been so cool. But then we would have had to get 9.1, 9.2, and 9.3. Yeah. And then when you get to 9.9, then you go to 9.91. Hey, if Kingdom Hearts can do that shit...
Kingdom Hearts can do anything it's want. Don't you dare use Kingdom Hearts as a good example.
If they can have fractions and incomplete numbers...
No, that's
then
not...
Then why can't a Mega Man?
Wooly, that is not why that game is numbered a fraction. It's not because it's a sequel. It's a dumb thematic thing.
It's because there's two characters, I know.
And it's over a year.
I know.
Fuck, that game is stupid.
I wish.
Kingdom Hearts is so stupid.
It would have been fine if they hadn't kept making regular Mega Man games after Mega Man X games were out.
I know.
That's why it made it so confusing.
Well, we were at a point where 9 came out, and I was like, oh, here it is.
I could barely count back
then. We can do it now, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, come on. Two separate franchises going their own way. How fun would it be to be like, clink, isn't that what we all love? Crossovers and shit, that all along.
Only the cartoon already does that.
I know.
You have it right there.
Yeah, but that's bullshit.
Mega
stupid
Man X
cartoon.
Shows up,
yeah, man. Vile's there.
It's true.
Yeah, and that also, that's the same world of Cody screaming about his Jessica.
Yeah, and
it's
the
not.
Lions.
And that's where Carlos Blanca comes from.
Yeah.
What do you want to
It's the best version of all the Capcom characters. You know it.
It would have been really fun to do that.
I love how he turns away from me to have a real conversation.
And Mega Man X showed up in the Mega Man comic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Archie comics. So
and the
fun.
Sonic crossover and stuff. Oh. They, you know, along with...
There's some stuff.
And then Billy... Sonic and Slippy doing it.
Well, Slippy's off on his
own
planet.
Slippy's not part of it.
Slippy's on his own planet with his wife having infinite babies.
Yeah.
And then when
the stud muffin that he is.
But what you see, and that's it's considered a happy ending. Mm. But what we don't see is how that turns into Craster's Keep real quick. One generation later, what the fuck is Slippy going to do? You tell me, Matt.
Problem's going to solve itself eventually.
How many wives do you have? Men of the Night's Watch. I have many.
I think of all combinations like Star Fox and Game of Thrones just is really reaching.
When's Nintendo going to make that game? I mean, we got missed out on the Star Fox Metroid game.
Hey, guess who the Lord of Light is? He fucking flips around at the last second.
It's Andros!
You brought me back!
No!
Yeah.
So was there actual news?
I mean,
there's probably a news.
Do you believe in news? Because if you believe in news,
I don't know where
there's definitely no Sony news this week because PlayStation Experience is on Thursday,
and there's also nothing going to be happening during it. Like Sony has been quick to tell everybody,
there's going
to
be.
I've never heard of such a thing. Where
there's going
to
be
an announcement to get less hype.
One
you know what?
Thing.
What if?
Well,
for
yeah.
Sure. There'll be one.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe.
I was like, I'm watching Matt like struggle to play with the toy. I'm like, what if there was no news, Matt? What if the teleprompter was broken?
I think
what would
we
happen?
Should get some guns and go clean out those. Ah!
It's like, no, the podcast is fine. It's fine.
I'm holding Wooly's head in the next section. The black man is dead.
It's like, no, once the words come back and once the news comes back.
Oh, God.
Why won't the words come back? I need to know what to say.
We'll tell you how to make a Christmas bundt cake. There's like little fires everywhere.
I am the devil, and I will be reborn unto all the sinners.
There's that special capsule of Saturday Night Live where it was like, it wasn't just when Will Ferrell and all those people came in, but it was slightly after where it was like absolute gold.
What was the name of that show?
Like Morning Latte or something like that.
Wasn't it Wake Up America?
Wake Up Morning.
Anyway, yeah.
I'll look it up.
I got into a bender last night of actually watching Norm MacDonald clips on Gone Conan.
Yes.
You forget of how much.
Yes.
You want to talk about a god.
What do you mean Norm MacDonald?
Norm MacDonald as a guest on Conan.
Chairman
like throughout
of
the years.
Yeah. Just all of his best moments as a guest on
just
Conan.
Just ruining every other guest spot.
Up till this year. Like,
okay, wow.
Fucking unbelievable. What a champ. Because no, my girlfriend had no idea who Norm MacDonald was, and I'm like, all right,
that's a fun moment.
Well, it was one of those. At first, you get that, wait, what? And then you go, oh fuck the plans for the rest of the night.
Oh, that's right.
Fuck everything else.
I think the best way you could introduce him for anyone that's like didn't watch that era of SNL and like didn't watch all the obscure Norm MacDonald movies that came out is like he plays the pigeon on Mike Tyson's Mysteries.
Yeah, that's what he is now. Yeah. That is true. All right, no actual news, I guess.
I did want to say one more thing about PlayStation Experience.
Sure.
There is the slightest chance that From Software will actually announce a thing there because all of a sudden they're doing interviews like yesterday or today.
Can we get to the docket?
Hey, I didn't know that was on the docket. I thought we were just talking about, okay, we'll go docket.
Yeah.
Eat shit.
You need to let the docket breathe.
I don't know what's on the docket, man.
The first thing on the docket is Batman Ninja.
Okay. That's a good pick.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
He's kind of more of a samurai.
He's dressed like a samurai. but Batman in and of himself is supposed to be kind of like a ninja.
Yeah, Batman's a ninja.
Yes, and that's why they would name it Batman Ninja. I understand because you think about the cloaked dark man in the night doing all the deeds.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go, sure, he's a ninja. But like heroically, he plays out more like a samurai does.
Yeah, that's correct.
And he looks more like a samurai in this actual series. But well, what it is a movie and it seems to
where
be
Batman just teleports
3D,
the past.
Yeah. Is that what it is, or is this an alternate world?
No.
He straight up, every character in Batman just teleports into medieval Japan.
Yeah.
Oh, this is really them teleported.
Yeah. The start of the trailer is Batman just said, I can't believe I'm stuck in Middle Ages in Japan.
Oh, that, okay.
How do you feel about it now?
That makes it a little bit less cool, because I thought this was going to be like, I can't come up with the name, but Bruce Wagyu, you know what I mean? Like, I thought we were gonna get like a completely reimagined character that happens to be
Japanese. No, this is Bruce Wayne in Japan.
Oh,
with all his guys, including what I think is Gorilla Grodd.
Yeah,
that's what it seems to be. Yeah,
why? So I saw some of this trailer and action figures way back in New York Comic Con, and they had pictures. Signs that said, "Do not take pictures of this trailer. Do not record. You are on camera. Like, do not let this be seen."
We will fuck you up.
I was wondering when this would like show up, but it seems kind of neat. Mm-hmm. Some of the designs, I'm like, Harley actually looks kind of fun. Joker's kind of.
I really like
Batman's looks kind of cool. Yeah, well, Deathstroke looks awesome. So. But yeah, I guess. Yeah. Sure, why not? It kind of reminds me of the Marvel animes that were so bad.
Yeah. But in those were set worlds, you know?
They were.
This is, I want my Buruzu way, what?
Stop it.
Okay.
Think about it and come back to us later.
All right. That's fine. But this is the 3D company that does the JoJo intros, right?
That's what very clear. This is a higher quality CG animated film than we are used to.
Yeah. And higher quality than like, cause you know what? It's not doing the shitty thing that like Berserk is doing where you see like anime 3D where it's got like a really low frame rate. And that
it's 3D models. Why would it ever have a low frame rate?
But then it does, right? That's the thing is I just don't know enough about the sky behind Alfred there looks very JoJo intro. But anyway, I don't know why that is such a thing. And I don't know enough about like the cost of how it is for them to render frames and display them. But that's always bugged me so hard, is that like you have the one thing you can do with these models is have the smoothest
you can have
animation
frame rate
you want, because you just need to render more.
Yeah.
And then you end up with choppy shit.
I imagine the actual answer is they are contracting out to render farms, and the render farms
have a hard limit
by the frame.
Perhaps, you know, perhaps it's that simple. But then why would you weight everything evenly?
I don't know.
To make it look uninteresting.
It's like you see the Pixar behind the scenes things where they show off like the Pixar render farm, and they're like the one frame from Incredibles whatever takes 19 hours.
Sure.
You know,
but the other problem is that when the frames display in like an equidistant manner, it looks more dead.
Sorry, oh, yeah. This is on what? Destructoid. I just like the line in this article. It says, "This story of the rich guy with issues that dresses up like a bat has him transported in the distant past of the Warring States era of Japan." It is just a very. He then dons a mask and becomes Spider-Man.
Yes, that's correct.
Like, that's just
what are the odds that weird. This leads into fucking the Jokugawa shogunate.
Jokugawa.
What are the odds that we lead up to that?
Depends how it does.
Nil.
Depends how it does.
Do they start affecting history with their bullshit?
Well, I mean, oh man, I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't history's fucked now?
Good assume Joker. I assume there'll be a big swirling portal and everyone will get their ass kicked into the portal.
That's correct.
It. So yeah, that'd be it.
Get in the portal.
Yeah.
Joker.
And I'd love
fine.
Like if the first
I
bunch
don't even
of,
like it here.
The first bunch of scrubby thugs he beats up are the Falcone
the
Falcone Shinsengumi.
Yeah,
no, that'd be fantastic.
That'd be pretty good.
All right.
They're jobbers throughout time.
I foresee a lot of moments of what? You're here also?
Of course. Yeah.
Well, there's
Catwoman. There's a fucking teaser shot of what appears to be Clayface.
I saw Robin somewhere.
Yeah, he was flipping around there too. Yeah. So, it's like, when did you get in?
Man, Clayface would be super strong in that time period.
Yeah, because Clay is a strong ass element there, or like building material.
Haha, you cut me.
Or just like Deadshot. Because guns.
Yeah, but he's got the shitty.
He has to have a really good
era
bow,
specific
then.
Guns.
He's got like.
Well, do his guns disappear when he goes through? Is it like Terminator?
Yeah, the shot of Deadshot firing a gun. He's using like a modified like Tanegishima.
Okay. So there's a time god that watches everybody.
Yeah.
And then when you go through, he goes take that off.
Except Bruce is
naked.
Like,
you got to go through naked.
Except Bruce's robo suit clearly works.
Yeah. But no, you only get through naked. But if you're a robot wearing skin, then I'm like, are you a human?
No, I got it. I got it.
Sometimes
you ready?
The rules can just change.
Okay,
whenever.
You're fine.
You ready for this? Deadshot uses up all his bullets in a fight and then has to make do with like
because
current
he
era
has
garbage
no, he
bullets.
He has no reloading. Yeah, sure.
Because you can't just manufacture a modern bullet
sure.
in 1400s Japan.
Right.
Nailed it. Did I say Deadshot? I meant Deathstroke.
You said Deadshot.
Whatever, they're the
times.
Same person, right?
Long shot. Kane the long shot. Dead shot. Blood strike. Blood stroke.
Oh, stop it.
There's no blood
dead
stroke.
Dead shot. There's no blood stroke?
No blood stroke.
There's no blood stroke.
No. Unless that's a powered up form of death stroke.
Are you standing by this?
I'm gonna say that there's no blood stroke, but I'd be happy to be wrong. Now, are you just looking for just a rando?
Bloodstroke.
Okay.
Comic.
That is totally not a real comic book character.
Not Bloodstrike. Bloodstroke.
Okay, let's find
the
Bloodstroke.
The first response
There's
is Deathstroke,
strike.
Then Brother Blood, then Arrow.
It's all Bloodstroke.
Yes!
Yeah.
No Bloodstroke. I thought you knew shit like...
Hold on. It auto-corrected.
This is a game.
This is a video game.
Wooly. Bloodstroke is not a comic book character.
It's a John Woo game.
Really? Interesting.
Damn.
Well, Willie, your time is now. Time to write and draw Bloodstroke.
But then I'd be jumping in on John Woo's territory.
That's fine.
Wow, I didn't know about Bloodstroke the game.
What's
though.
John Woo going to do? Fight you?
With doves and guns, yeah.
Well,
in
that's...
slow motion.
You know what? That's fair.
You don't want a piece of that.
I do want a piece of that.
Like, if every director could just use their special abilities as their thing.
Oh, man.
John Woo and Del Toro are, like, at the top.
Yeah.
Is Kojima not at the top?
Well, movie directors.
Okay. Well, is Kojima not at the top?
Yeah. No, because, again, Del Toro gets to summon beasts of all kinds.
Oh, man.
Eldritch and unknowable.
I saw a fucking quote going around from Mads Mikkelsen that is, like, I hope it's real, but it's like, oh, yeah, I've read the whole script for Death Stranding. I don't get it.
Nice. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that was an interview. That was an interview where he was just like, I don't really understand. But I believe in the project, you know?
I've totally understood scripts that made shit movies, so that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
If I don't understand it, it must be good.
And I was in Doctor Strange.
Hey.
From Software reassures that Armored Core is not over.
It's not over yet.
So they've been giving out little bits of interviews with various people saying, oh, don't worry. Armored Core is still alive and well. Don't you worry. We love Armored Core. Also, tomorrow there will be an official Armored Core theme out on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Which, huh.
The Armored Core 20th live anniversary Steam stream called Armored Core Suite 02 popped up where they announced that. And... they're basically just trying to, like, get the dead engine. Like, they're pulling it the first time. And
this is clearly the setup for a big reveal at some point.
That's it. It's the first pull on that engine.
And because
it's too cold
right
now.
The timing on the theme either means it'll be shown off on Thursday, or the theme is to tide people over till E3.
Yep, there's going
to
be a second pull. Right?
I am becoming more and more convinced that the sci-fi Souls game is just going to be Armored Core.
You think so? I would not.
The systems are the same. The controls are the same.
I wonder if they would just make it like just a proper sequel, like fully full on in, and as a break from all of that, in a way, and then maybe consider a whole new thing afterwards.
Or maybe Armored Core's too fast, but Bloodborne was pretty fast.
I could see them eventually revisiting that formula, but I feel like they'd probably just make a normal Armored Core game that people are waiting for.
Well, every Armored Core game generation to generation has actually changed pretty significantly.
But
well, PS1, PS2, and then 360.
I could see there being a lot of fans being unhappy with like a complete shift towards a Souls
game. I would agree with that.
With that name, you know?
And it's like, I would like them to put out a trailer for this and be like, look, you don't have to play with the controller upside down anymore.
Goddamn, this podcast room smells delicious.
Oh, it does?
Why? Yeah, it suddenly smells food too.
Yeah, I don't know. So that's cool. And I mean, FromSoft has been up to some other shit, right?
They're building a bunch of games in secret.
What are they doing over there? What you got going on?
Well, there was the rumor a ways back about the Aztec game. Remember the Aztec Souls game?
Yeah, I remember.
But that never materialized. And they said they're working on 3 projects, I think it was.
Yeah.
And the only one they were specific on was one is definitely Armored Core.
Where was it? There's an exact quote on what they were working
on. One, they literally said,
we
are making another dark fantasy RPG.
Yes, we are making a game similar in style to the Souls series, but it will be somewhat different.
Yes.
Is a paraphrase of that quote, which is basically what I hear, like, we're making the next jump from, like, so it went Demons to Dark, and then it went Dark to Bloodborne, and then this one will be...
a whole other thing. Which is, like, hopefully refreshing for them as a team. And then there's Armored Core probably as well. I don't think they're the same. And
there's another one.
Yeah, a third thing.
Which, From Software, man, what a fucking niche company to blow up like this. Mm. I still have trouble getting over it, because Armored Core was very niche. Somewhat popular in its niche, but, like... and Kingsfield sucks. And then all of a sudden, wow, this podcast room does smell good.
Yeah.
Finally got up to me.
They put out Metal Wolf.
And I remember when Liam refused to believe that they made a Super Robot Wars game.
Oh, Christ. I super forgot.
They made a few Tenchu games, too, I think.
Another Century episode. Another Century episode, yeah.
Ace. Or they published them or something. Yeah,
and they made a Togi, which rocks shit, but no one played.
We told the truth about that, didn't we?
And
the
Echo Knight games.
Did we tell that? We told the truth about the Atogi, right?
Yeah.
Multiple times. One of the best fucking
it's so good
one-offs we've ever done. Lost to the ages.
Wait a couple years more and do it again.
Nah, we can do it.
Yeah. Okay, just do it.
What else is going on this week? We've got this weird thing that I thought... You want to talk about dreams?
Yeah.
I thought this was a dream when we first announced it.
Yeah.
And apparently...
When we first announced
it. Yeah, when we first talked about it on the podcast. Okay. And apparently it's still happening. Gungrave VR is actually really a thing. And it's not a small mini experiment.
Apparently it's built off the PS2 game.
It's
somewhere.
The whole first game as a VR experience.
So weird.
Why? With and it sounds like
what?
The action game, the description.
Look at that trailer.
The
Japanese lady screaming in pain, shooting the fucking lightning bolts out of her fingers.
The Gungrave VR is a PSVR optimized version of Gungrave that keeps the world intact and goes beyond the story of Gungrave Overdose.
The game's
the weirdest.
Third person full break action.
What the fuck is that?
Full break action. And it's first person dynamic shooting.
Dynamic shooting, fine, but full break action, that means that you're constantly breaking and going.
Rocket Billy Red Cadillac, Matt. Don't question it.
I'm questioning it.
Action.
Beyond the grave. Let it be. Let them use English however they want to. Yashiro Naitou has a pass to do whatever the fuck he wants.
They're also involved in the development.
They're making, basically, it's Gungrave 1 and 2 in a VR game, and it's a full action game.
It comes out in like a week.
And I have, in Japan.
Yeah.
I don't know how this happened. Why? Why all this noise about Gungrave now?
There's no reason for it. There's not a new anime. There's not a new manga as far as I know.
This is crazy. But I fucking love it.
Yeah, I guess.
I could do with more Brandon Heat in my life.
Brandon Heat.
And?
And, God. Oh.
Harry McDougar. Oh, I love Gungrave. I'm so, like, weirded out by this. It's a thing that I love. But I would have happily lived the rest of my life without ever hearing about it.
Exactly.
Because I'm like, yeah, that was fine.
It's that type of news.
It was so dumb, but then it ended so strong. Anyway. Yeah, Gungrave
VR.
Like
VR game for... Is there even an anime that's in that tier that's Gungrave? Not Trigun. Trigun's too important. But Gungrave is just unimportant enough.
Battle Block Brigade? The other Yashiro Naitou series?
I didn't know that one.
Or Gangsta?
Nah, Gangsta's cool. But it's too obscure. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah. Gantz.
Gantz, yeah.
There is a Gantz PS2 game.
That's true.
So there's a VR PSVR trailer, and then there's like 2 seconds of footage right towards the end where they go past the Zone of the Enders
VR
about
that
experience.
Zone of the Enders thing.
And then you get to see a half second of it. I don't know what it's going to be.
It's going to be weird. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
I saw it
so fast.
Like guns shooting, big explosive, great markers going off.
Yeah.
So you get to live the eyes of Beyond Zagrevu. That's what you get to do.
Mm-hmm. Willie, is the Hero Academia stuff on the docket?
That's literally next on
the right. I was wondering.
My Hero Academia. OJ stands for One's Justice. And we get to see some screenshots.
Looks high quality.
Still not really sure what it is.
Still haven't said what it is.
Some type of fighting thing.
But looking at how close they've zoomed in on these models, it makes me think it's a fighting game.
It is a 3D action battler.
Yes.
Battler.
Is the specific title.
I thought there was a thing about how there's a lot of environmental action.
There is.
For it. To me,
so,
that means
so, as of about 8 o'clock this morning, a new piece of news came out for this, which explains exactly what the genre is.
Is it third person behind the shoulder fighting
game?
No,
it was the developer. The developer of this game is not Arxis, as you know. It's Biking, the makers of Gunslinger Stratos.
Wow.
Oh! I see.
So my excitement was dashed only to go...
Really?
Ooh.
Interesting. How... unusual. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
That's fucking
See,
cool.
That's what I thought you were going to be talking about.
Hell yeah. Okay, let's go.
Time to get excited.
Okay. Yeah, so.
So it's an arena fighter.
So this is an arena battler. Yeah, absolutely. So third person action thing.
And that combat system or style works perfectly for characters that move like the characters in Hero Echo.
Now, there's no Gun Con arcade
No, it's
thing
not gonna,
happening.
No, it's going to be with a controller.
So. Yeah, but...
Because this is coming to Switch and PS4.
Okay, yeah. No, that could be really good. That could be
yes,
really good.
Yes, it could.
It could also not be, but that's promising.
Let's hold out hope.
So yeah, but looking at the way these screenshots are like placed and zooming in on these pops and moments, I would think of a fighting game, you know? Because you're not seeing like a bunch of grunts getting hit or whatever. You're seeing close-ups on Midoriya, and then there's Shigaraki as well. Being the only two characters they're showing off.
There is one character else that's confirmed. The fucking teaser website. The microwave. A pair of glasses fell out of it yesterday.
Oh.
And it's like, these are going to be really easy to guess. Oh, and a brain fell out the other day.
Well, it's like, of course.
Of course Ida and Nomu are going to be there.
Why the fuck wouldn't they?
The entire cast of 1A
is
going to
be there. It'd be silly if they weren't. Like, the real excitement comes from, like...
Are they going to put some Season 3 stuff in there?
Well, I was going to say the Class B and, like, the some of the extended exam people, you know?
So it says there's going to be a trailer on December 16th.
Yeah, man.
Get excited for that.
Okay.
There's potential. There's big potential.
Potential plus ultra.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's so good to care about Naruto again.
Feels good. It's been a while.
Oh, yeah.
Feels good to be home.
Oh, man.
Feels good to be home.
I never left.
Oh, yeah. Green Naruto.
Tadaima. There's, this is some weird shit. And Pat, you and I were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
On a previous day. What the fuck is actually happening with Final Fantasy XV?
Okay,
So
I loaded it up after that conversation, and I'm going to stream the DLCs next week because they're all going to be out. So, yeah, I was looking at my phone
while
you were fighting video settings. I'm like, Wooly, did you see what they've added to 15? And you went, no. I'm like, okay. So they added a chapter select and a side story for Gladio and Ignis during chapter 13, and they changed chapter 13, and they added the three DLCs, and then this year or next
there's
year...
There's the online mode.
There's Comrades, which is getting a big quality of life patch like next week, and then they're going to change the whole game so that you can play as all four characters in the main game like they play in their DLCs, and then they're going to come out with Episode Arden, and they're teasing Episode Luna... As well.
This is madness.
And I don't know if you did this afterwards, but I went down the change log because I updated the game and I just looked, okay, what are all the... Whoa, there's a lot
of changes
that got added. They added the pro support. Then they added the stable pro support. Then they added this. Then they added time quests. Then they added... The chapter select is actually pick a chapter new game plus.
Now, for every one of these, though, I always have that, like, that's awesome. Good job, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, they have no choice.
They have to. It's Final Fantasy.
It's 15.
It has been...
This is 13 versus.
It has been...
They have to... Instead of, you know, releasing... a bunch of standalone titles over the course of a bunch of years.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, A, good job. Everyone kind of likes this game that plays it, or you know, mostly people. It's not like 13 where it's kind of...
Keep it fucking going.
Keep it fucking going instead of releasing standalone titles.
Well, you don't have the wrap it up sign? Like, it's the keep it fucking go.
We've seen the two complete ascend opposite approaches of this. We saw 13, which they made too much and was and then they decided, oh, we're gonna save money by using all that shit over and over, and then it kind of
I guess you gotta
drag 13's name through the dirt a little bit.
Yep.
And then you saw 14, and now this game where it's like, oh, it was a disaster or there were problems with it, fix it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how much it costs.
This is
fix it. The name is more important.
I'm gonna dub this the Neo development pipeline.
Yes. Okay. Mm. That's what this
from now on.
This is what this is called. It's the Neo pipeline.
Yeah.
Because yeah, Neo's is also just astonishing.
You right? just you go work it like. Never be game over.
Never be.
You know?
Yeah.
We're just going to keep
which
it.
You'll never
which,
see a game
ironically,
again.
Fucking
is
going.
From the game that needed this the most.
You know, like, whenever you step away and come back, it is infinitely more polished. And there's more content. It's not just new content. It's polishing the
By
old
the way,
shit.
I don't know.
Like, the idea of making the playable characters in their own separate thing is like, yeah, of course, sure, that's cool. Mm-hmm. But then unnecessarily going back and letting you play the original.
Which completely changes the whole fucking game.
Fucking nut. Like, holy shit.
And,
you know?
And there's another thing is that that I had not mentioned when I was telling you about all these little things. I loaded it up the other day, and I walked over to Cindy, and Cindy's like, wow, hey, you got it. Well, I don't know what the accent is.
I don't know. What
hey, y'all, I can fix the regalia.
There
and I
go.
Went, oh, like, did I actually upgrade the Regalia F? Because I never actually got those parts. And I went, sure, give me the Regalia D. Mm-hmm. And the Regalia D turns the Regalia into a monster truck.
And lets you drive off
lets
road.
Lets you drive everywhere.
Yeah. That's
and the
cool.
characters have a bunch of dialogue for driving off road in which Ignis says, boy, never thought we'd do this with the Regalia. And it's like,
oh,
Jesus
wow.
Christ.
Yeah, that's nuts. What happens if you drive into a fucking Katobla Pass?
I don't know. Enemies do take damage, and I think it scales with your stats, because I was running around those saber tusks, and they were just popping.
You should be able to do a summon where you just make the fucking Regalia just hit the thing.
Yeah, that's good.
Just back over it and rev the wheels.
It's that game. So I'm going to end up replaying that game on its inevitable PC release, like far into the future. Right, and when I do, because I'm gonna dick around with side stuff, and I'm gonna do the DLCs, and then. But when I do eventually go through that full replay, it's gonna be a completely fucking different game.
I'm gonna finish it because I haven't done so, but like that finishing line, it gets further and further away, which is fine.
It's
that's really cool. I respect that heavily.
Also, I don't know if you know this, but part of the thing was like the characters will play as they do in their DLCs. Mm-hmm. You know they have like totally different battle systems, right? Like Gladio uses like a Devil May Cry style multiplier.
Oh wow! Okay.
And Prompto just has his gun, so his gunplay plays different.
I didn't know that. What I'm wondering is though, like they're announcing these things as mixtures of updates and and DLC.
Yeah.
So like, what are you paying for, and what are you?
Did
not
you buy
paying
the season pass?
I don't think I did.
Because if you did, everything is free.
Okay, I don't think I did.
If you didn't. Everything is free except for the episodes. And comrades.
Okay.
Hmm.
Like, that's how they're...
I don't think anyone expected their season pass was going to give them all that. But.
Yeah, well, yeah, comrades wasn't even included in the fucking season pass originally. It was just the three DLC episodes.
Oh, and then it got
And
added.
Then they said, oh, we're going to do the multiplayer thing. It's part of the season pass.
Wow. Okay.
Also, the season pass is, like, retroactively a great deal because I think it was $40 and a fucking... Comrades is $27. And all the other DLCs are like 10 or 15. And if they
How long are the episodes?
The episodes are 2 to 3, but they also have alternate endings and score attack.
So that's basically another game.
Yeah.
Altogether.
Yeah, all three together is a 8 to 10 hour with multiple endings. And I know about Ignis's, but I don't know about the others. But Ignis has a super boss in it, and it's Noctis. And I think they might all have that, actually.
Wow. Wow. Fascinating.
It's nuts. It's
fascinating. I love it. Good.
And if they do episode Arden and Luna, they're saying that they'll have a second season pass, which would assume, like, you would imagine would also be alongside a second round of updates. Which,
get on Square. You know, this, I feel bad for anyone that just doesn't like 15 as a thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because it's cutting so much
support.
Like,
you know, like there's just nothing there for you, and that's unfortunate.
Well, it's a deeply flawed game.
You know, but
those flaws are getting buffed out over time.
Yeah, but like weird. I like the characters, so I don't mind seeing more of them and experiencing more of like you know gameplay with them,
especially
stuff.
In your favorite fighting games.
Sure,
you know.
Sure, and speaking of that, let's get right into Capcom versus SNK3, shall we?
Yes, let's do that. That's a weird screenshot.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's not so much a weird screenshot, but it's a weird thing when you say what game it's from.
I had that moment in my head already just looking at Geese showing up in Tekken and fighting Akuma. Like, I looked at it and I was like, yeah, no, this is incredibly weird that we live in a world where this is called
Tekken 7.
Tekken 7. But Geese is out now, and Geese is rad.
I downloaded him, but I didn't yet boot it up to play with him. But for whatever reason, this weekend, I just went around like doing normal things, just going, Repuken, stand up, to like nothing. It's really into Geese.
Cowards, be gone.
You will wash your hands with my blood.
Stain.
No,
it's wash my hands with my blood.
Okay. I'm referring to the one I screwed up like 8 years ago.
Okay.
Matt remembers.
I will wash your blood with my hands.
That's correct.
You said you didn't boot it up, right?
Yeah, I just set it to download, and then I didn't have time to actually play.
Okay, because fucking Geese Tower is the wackiest, craziest stage we've seen.
You can do some dumb shit in Geese
Tower. Because besides the fact that it's fucking gorgeous and incredible, you've got all the Fusuma.
The partitions.
Right?
Yeah.
That open up, and you can 100% combo off of them and get a wall splat and keep it going.
Yeah, I saw
one wall to the next to the next.
Claudio combo.
Until you eventually kick them the fuck off, Geese style. But instead of dying to their death, they just get ground bounced for you to combo them again.
I wish there was an area where it could...
You get a ring out, the only ring out in the game.
There's one wall. There's just one wall that does it.
But then it'd have to be like a story mode only kind of like mission.
And also seeing how fucking awesome Geese looks just on his model, it does kind of make me want like a Tekken team made... Fatal Fury or King of Fighters.
Well, they pulled up the fucking video of a
three walls to the end.
Bounce off the tower.
And then he just does his rage art.
Ground
and then at the, yeah.
Okay, if you have your rage art stock, then it's
you
like,
can do whatever.
You can do whatever you want.
That means that his stage changes balance more than his character.
There's stages that have multiple ground breaks and stuff, but the ability to do that with certain characters is nuts.
So here's the thing. If, let's say, M. Bison showed up in this game, and if there was a screenshot or like Bison's victory pose,
do you think they're gonna loop back to Capcom?
No. I'm just saying. Let's just say it was Bison that was DLC 2 or whatever, right? And there's a his victory screen of where he has his foot on Heihachi's neck, and he goes, "Stay down, maggot." I'd be like, "Yes, I don't know, Bison. You're evil, I suppose," but. If Geese has his foot on your neck and his thing is stay down, Meg, I'm like, yeah, you're more evil than Heihachi. Yeah. Like, I find that Bison's like the same level as Heihachi in terms of evilness.
Well, what makes Geese so fucking cool is that he's just normal guy. He's just badass normal guy.
He doesn't have soul transfer. He doesn't have weird bloodlines.
He's just a better fighter than everyone else.
There's nothing going on with him. He's a really good businessman. He runs some good crime businesses.
Yeah.
Those hunger
factories.
Those hunger factories are way, way up in the red. I mean, in the green, rather.
And he's also very, very good at martial arts.
In the black, actually. But anyway. And then he's just there. And he's a shitty father. Yeah. And he'd rather die than be dishonored.
Yeah, he's not a good
dad. That feeling where Geese Howard clutches a bowling ball more closely to himself than he ever did with his son.
You know? But that's it, right? Like, he has, like, and all that, like Akuma's like a guy too, and, you know, he sells fruits to kids and all that shit.
That's
fun. But he's still like, brah, I'm a demon.
Yeah.
You know, and Bison's like, I'm a fucking whatever I am. You know?
He's a soul monster.
Vessel.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And like, Geese is, yo, like, I fucking know martial arts.
And Jin and all those guys, the Devil Gene and all that shit.
Are you a better fighter than me? No. Be gone. You know?
I am the new king of fear.
And you, like, and he, if That's it. That's,
see, okay.
And he's, only, there's no otherworldly support behind him.
There technically,
and he calls himself the King of Fear.
There technically is, but it's confusing. It's like Nightmare Geese is a thing. It's in two games.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
Yeah,
what
it, that's.
I don't think it's even.
That's
canon.
Just we want Geese playable
Nightmare
for this
Geese
game, but he's
is,
already dead.
But he's in KOF 14.
I know.
Nightmare Geese is Terry's perception of Geese.
That's so stupid because regular Geese is right there.
Yeah, don't worry.
It's fucking, he's just the guy, man.
I like if Nightmare
Thoughts
Geese is
gone.
Standing next to regular Geese, does Terry go, I don't know which one to Power Geyser?
Maybe.
Luckily, Power Geyser's really wide.
Yeah,
so
right. Especially triple Geyser.
And that honestly applies to, I'd say, like all like Fatal Fury villains, is they're just people. You know?
What about Godamus Rauzorn?
Video game. Krauser's just a dude. Sure.
Krause is just a dude. It's true.
Kadar Heidlin's just a dude, you know? Yeah. And I like that.
Yeah, it's true.
Rugal is cool,
I
too.
I mean, KOF is where the
but
bosses
he kind of
are,
got it. Exactly. But he Rugal was cool. Gonitz was getting a little bit more, you know,
man, Rugal's
deity,
still the best.
Deific. And then you get into the Orochi, and from the Orochi, it's just all...
Rugal's like comparable to
science
Geese,
and gods.
Geese is just more over.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love Rugal's style, man.
Yeah. Wait, well, which Omega or original?
No, original.
Original, yeah.
With the red suit and the black
the scarf.
Scarf.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
So good.
Sharp. KOF characters know how to fucking dress, man. Tell you what.
Hey, Ryu, shouldn't you wash that? No.
Never.
Okay.
He's got a beard now, so we can see all the fucking natto juice dried up in his caked in his mustache.
I would love...
Durian
I would,
juice.
I would love if we got
disgusting.
A costume that
worst.
Was like
so stinky.
Torn, dirty gi hobo Ryu.
Again,
because like he's
beans, like dried natto beans caking the bottom. What? Oh, yeah, Sakura. Everything you dreamed of. And then some. All right. So yeah, the
Stand
other
up.
The other bit was we might as well talk about fighting games because we're doing that.
I like fighting games.
Okay.
Do you like fighting herds? Fighting herds.
Oh, is that there's that continuing on?
Dem's Fight Herds announced for February 2018.
Oh, I saw the words Mike Z in there somewhere.
Well, he loaned them the Skulled Girls engine.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Right? And so...
Which means it's probably going to play solid.
Yeah. Well, once they got it and you saw like the shift and you 100% see like the Skull Girl sparks and attacks and like feelings.
All right, let's see it. Let's kick over to a punch.
Yeah, let's try to get in there.
This isn't a trailer, it's just like gameplay.
Yeah.
Breaking it down a little bit.
Oh yeah, that looks like Skullgirls.
There's an earlier...
But with cows!
There's earlier footage where like some of the sound effects...
Alpacas.
...are still like Skullgirl sound effects
too.
Yeah,
and some of the animation's still not done, but whatever.
But no, man, it's coming along. But yeah, February 2018 is what we're hearing.
When's this going to be at Evo?
2018?
I want to see the clash of those communities.
I mean, here's the thing.
There's not much clash there. They're
oh,
all
you're
the
right.
Same.
Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know if you can talk about, like, getting on the main stage yet because you got seven games, right? So if this comes in, it's got to kick something out.
That's good.
You got to kick
that's
something out.
That's a good
out.
Pun.
Equestrian-style fighters is very...
Getting on the main stage? Because horses?
Main six. Yeah.
It's the name of the developer. I'm fucking killing it.
You're doing it.
Bovine thuggery.
See, that's good. Well, bison.
Okay, hey.
Hey.
You have a story showing up about the Kid Buu trailer.
That's right.
Why do they put out these 8-second trailers?
I don't know.
I'm actually like, you might as well have not have shown
they're
anything
so weird.
Now.
It's a bunch of screenshots.
Much. Yeah.
It goes by really, really quickly. And I think, like, yeah. Because
the initial trailers for when new characters were being announced, they're... fine, but like in the last couple, like
I think,
last three
I think
have been just ridiculous.
I think it's just to get a little like tweetable,
little
you
taste.
Know, a little like bap, 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 boom, hey, go thing going on. And so, like, currently the story is there's the Kid Buu character trailer. But yeah, they're less than a minute long and they go by so quickly. But you get to see like a couple seconds and then Hell Pockets Max Like, so those guys just get on the analysis mode and then, like, break down, like, okay, what is this 4 seconds of attacks going to be? Yeah.
All of Boo's different types are all unique enough to be their own character.
Yeah, that's true. They pick their
own. Super Boo is the only one that's missing here. And,
yes.
And Super Boo would also be a totally different character from Fat Boo or Kid Boo.
While I don't care for fucking Saiyan... It's taking up extra slots.
I also don't care for Imperfect Cell.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
But Boos are all very different.
I completely, 100%.
Well, for fuck's sake, he talks like an idiot in one, he's totally normal in another, and he's a wild beast in the third.
Right. Maybe we'll start getting, lower S cell count Goku.
Oh, man, I was on voice chat with Plague when that dropped.
Have you? I envy you. I wish I was there for that.
He didn't make a big deal of it. He just sounded more and more tired as he reads about the S-cells.
Did you hear about S-cells?
No, I did not.
Midichlorians have come to Dragon Ball.
Literally.
If that could only make it better.
In some sort of interview, Toriyama apparently explained you don't just turn Super Saiyan because you're Super Saiyan. It comes down to the number of S cells in your body.
And when they get saturated with energy and anger, then the S cells can infinitely produce energy.
And children of people with lots of S cells have even more S cells.
They double up.
Which is the explanation for why Goten can have fucking Super Saiyan. Like 6.
Because he's full of them.
So you know what they should do, right?
Shocked to bursting.
You know what they should do? They should get on that Saiyan bandwagon and have all a bunch of kids and stop hyperbolic time chambering and slowing their ages down and resurrecting
themselves. Yeah,
hyperbolic
time sex. Do that.
Yeah, just really, they get to a point where they just create artificial S cells and inject them into their bodies.
Well, that's actually literally how Saiyans used to be born, right?
So
out of pods and shit.
I feel like
Superman.
Yeah, we can go into an alternate reality, pull Bulma's dad out.
Yeah,
right, and just go like, all right, science it up. You and Jiro hang out, science it up, and then we get these EpiPens. That you just jam and fucking syringe yourself with S cells, and then you just pop your Super Saiyan.
Here's an obvious problem.
Congratulations,
with that.
You're as weak as like
a baby fart.
Like nothing in this universe of Jirens and
Jirens, exactly.
And gods.
Here's an obvious question that is stupid. Wouldn't Garou have known this and thus made the androids a billion times stronger than he did?
No, because he
couldn't anticipate this.
I guess he didn't have the ability to study any Saiyans.
Are you serious? Cell has Saiyan DNA in
it's
him.
True.
That's why his name is Cell.
But then, did he actually understand it? Or did he just clone? Okay.
The androids were also built with Saiyan genetic technology.
You're yelling at a cloud,
I'm yelling at an old man shaped like a cloud that only flies with the Pure of Heart. All right?
You're yelling at a retcon for being an awful, shitty, terrible example.
It's so bad.
Of how bad Toriyama is at writing his own story. It's incredible how much of a hack
this
genius creator is. This historic.
He's a good draftsman, and he's good at page layouts.
He's incredible. He is someone whose name should be put on the walls.
But he's the worst writer
of manga history forever. He's a hack.
Oh man,
it's incredible.
I guess he was like,
away from his own work.
I got to make up for all the mistakes GT did, and I'm doing a good job.
Man, hey, I want to talk about midichlorians for a second because I just rewatched the fucking Plankett reviews.
Go back to Dr. Slump.
You know. The midichlorians are mentioned once.
Hey, don't you knock a rally, man.
They're mentioned once, ever.
In that conversation with the mom?
That's it. Ever. You could... And they never come back. There's no reason for it to be there.
Well, I think they mention it two or three times in episode one, but then after that, no movies talk about them.
All the magic.
I can't wait to
all the mystery.
We find out about the K cells in Kryptonians. And how strong you are as a Kryptonian depends on your K cells.
Yeah, it's always fun when you take away the mystery of the superhero that or even like the martial artist or whatever that can just power their way with effort and with skill to getting their thing.
That's because when you say it's in your cells and like, oh, you're predestined to have it because you have these cells, then it makes everyone feel like they're less special.
Because they literally are.
Yes.
The makeup of their body does not contain
the hero juice.
Well, furthermore, plot armor is now, it's plot cells. You don't have them. Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
yeah. Story cells.
It's always been a fucking stupid joke that, like, Goku and Vegeta will lead the way and, you know, everybody trails behind, right?
Yeah.
But now it's like they're the only ones who can. And, like...
You don't have enough plot cells in your body to be a main character. We did the count.
Yeah, we did the math.
Think about it this way. Think about how stupid and bad this is. Remember how amazing it was?
In real life, we call those plot cells melanin.
But they work the reverse. remember how it was a big deal in the Cell Saga?
Yeah.
How Goku looks at Gohan and it goes, Gohan... You have something deep inside you. You have this anger that you've never let go.
Yeah.
And that's going to be what lets you defeat Cell.
Yeah.
But what he's actually saying is, Gohan, you're genetically superior to your dad because you have more S cells.
Yes.
Only you can defeat Cell with your cells.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because you're a human, half-child human, you currently have more S cells as a child than me and Vegeta
so
do.
Stupid. He should have less.
Also,
he's half human.
No, the explanation that's always been consistent.
But now that it's cells,
that it's always been consistent that like the kids like something because humans have an easier time unlocking their potential.
Oh,
but they have the Saiyans, so that's why the kids can rock it up to greater heights way faster. Because they don't have to get beat up all the time.
But Videl learned to fly. Then the human cells.
Yeah, but flying is totally
cells.
Separate from strength.
Right.
Flying's about pureness of thought or some shit.
Look, we still haven't addressed the fact that no other person sits down and gets the dance done around them to make them super powerful in a way that nobody understands.
Yeah.
It only happened once and it took a while and that was the joke, but it literally could apply to everyone
else. And
that
power was lost.
So, meh. Anyway.
So what's Jiren's deal? Does he have J cells?
What a fucking hack.
Yeah, he's just an alien weirdo.
Is Ultra Instinct different? Do you have UI cells?
Now, yeah.
Go watch Plague's Dragon Ball videos. They're really good, and they're like an hour of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But dry and Tennessee
and kind of
Kentucky,
like,
whatever
level anger.
Well, you don't want to think that like a creator accidentally into being a successful manga artist, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't want to imagine.
God forbid, getting popular by accident
doing.
Would be so horrible.
Or they get to a point where they back off and let their team run the show.
Like, are you only a good mangaka if you have M cells?
Yes. Well, it's like look at Naruto. Like, Boruto's written by the protege, right?
Yeah.
And who was probably writing the last part of the Ninja War because the art style changed and all that shit. It's like, wouldn't Toriyama, couldn't you back off and give it to somebody who knows how to write a story? No? Okay, fine. I tried that with GT.
There was definitely a part where like you can see like, okay, the freehand drawing went to like reference material and he became a better artist while drawing. Mm-hmm. But then there's a part where you're like, nope, that's a 3D model.
Yeah.
Yep, that's a 3D model being traced right there. Anyway, speaking of 3D models.
Being traced.
Check out these unused Bloodborne.
I saw this video.
There's
some of them are real trash looking.
Well, I don't know if you've ever seen the because I've tried to keep up with like the cut bullshit in these games.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
the ones that get cut pretty early.
Yeah,
and they all look like trash. The Dark Souls 1 ones look real bad too.
So you've been following these,
yeah, more or less.
Because yeah, they
part two came out today.
They dug some models out of the data in Bloodborne, and one of the unknown things was a golden beast. Was an unused boss that basically looks like an Amelia type.
Yeah, if Amelia kept going.
With gold fur.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a Pikachu.
Kind of. Honestly, I'm just... There's also like a weird skeleton demon.
Yeah, so like when you pull all the fur off, you get this weird lion wolf dragon.
Well, that looks like a dragon model from like a Dark Souls game that had all the fur put on it.
Pathetic, like sad dragon. Yeah, there's a black fur variant that they had.
Probably Chalice Dungeon.
Next, they had a
two-headed Balrog. It's one-headed.
Yeah, basically, it's a winged, fiery thing holding a staff.
Wasn't there something that looked pretty much like this in Dark Souls 3? Wasn't there a big fire dragon thing that we fought near the end?
There's
the old king demon.
I called it the Balrog. Yeah. Absolutely. But this had like one of those weird skulls where like it's like, that doesn't even make sense.
That looks like something that you'd actually fight in the nightmare. Because then the nightmare, all rules go out the window.
And then there was an NPC.
Which looks real trashy.
Yeah, he looks pretty dumb. But
he looks like if
he was in the Bergenworth area.
If an American team in 2002 made like a weird, scary priest.
Well, you know what he actually looks? He looks like he was going to be a Mazgul type. Because his proportions on his face and the book and all that stuff. Like Mazgul from Berserk, the evil priest guy.
Oh yeah, Mazgul.
Like I feel like that's a character from the dragon game we played with the redhead girl. Where she has a sword and it's
Heavenly Sword?
No.
Dragonheart.
You and I played?
Enslaved?
We did a one off. The time you guys tricked me. Into playing
that fucking thing. Now I remember we were at a con.
You tricked me into playing a one-off with Liam of.
Was that a con? It was in Hamilton.
It was
2 years ago.
Yeah,
I still don't know the game.
Because it was a game I recognized, and then you made me go buy it, and then I came back, and you're like, ha ha. I told him to go buy it.
No, I realize it's a mystery box. I just can't picture what the game is. Redheaded girl with a dragon.
With a redhead girl with a sword.
Yes, okay, I remember.
By the way, there's a fucking Dark Souls 3 skeleton in this data mine. Yeah. They straight up just pulled it over there. It into the Dark Souls 3.
Yes. So,
this is always interesting, but the way FromSoft does their stuff, it's not like you're going to find out, like, oh, it's the Bloodborne 2 teaser. No, it's like they don't do it like that. Though the pig monster looks cool.
Yeah, it's kind of different.
Is it a pig or a fat rat man?
It is a boar.
Yeah, it's kind of
okay. I couldn't tell the nose because the nose looks a little like
and
goblin red.
The head parts look like that. This design,
Drakan,
actually got turned into the Gru enemies in Dark Souls 3.
Oh, okay. So the timing was such that they'd be like, fuck it, cut it out of this, put it in that,
modify it, make it look cool for this other game.
So yeah, there's tons of shit that they're digging out, and I can't believe this is just coming out now too.
Well, it's a PS4 game, so it's harder to dig out. It's not like the Dark Souls games where it's on PC and it all gets found immediately.
I like when you see the they do that stuff. They have the models they pull up, but then they do like the maps as well. And they explore them, like the maps, and go outside and they show you that the geometry extends way beyond where the camera can go. Like that stuff's really cool.
Why does it bother? Oh, because it looks realistic. Or whatever.
The whole room that you walk into at the end of DS1, where like all the primordial serpents are, is like a fully modeled, crazy detailed room.
Even though it doesn't have to
all
be,
this extra
it's
shit
for a single cutscene.
For nothing. Pretty incredible. And last but not least, I don't know if
is
you...
Is it least, though?
It is least.
It can
to
be.
You guys, it will be, for sure.
Hell yeah.
But, we'll like...
I already don't care.
Did you see the breakdown on how they brought back Venom, Winter Soldier, and Black Widow for Marvel?
The breakdown
on how they play and, like, what they do.
Oh, I watched a Max video for Venom.
Yeah, Venom is...
I saw that there's a hidden super.
Yeah, that shit's sick.
Yeah. And that was basically what... we're hoping to. It'd be nice if they did that for the other teams in the game, because
like any pairs that might do something
exactly
together.
Because like the Winter Soldier is actually a lot like they're all just like Winter Soldier and Black Widow are just gunman gun girl, right?
Yeah,
that's all. Black Widow is quite good.
She's incredible. She's super fast and she has amazing like tools. She can do anything, but. Winter Soldier has the one cool thing where he puts his hand up and takes no damage.
Yeah, because the arm just stops
blocks
it.
Whatever you're doing, and he can walk forward and shoot with his hand up and do the exact same thing he does in Civil War. So that's super dope. But yeah, I'm trying to find the.
I'm shocked they made Venom the way he
is. Why is Ninja Turtle smash up on SRK.
This is Event Hubs, and it's because the Ninja Turtles have been in previous fighting games. Did you know? No, I didn't.
Yeah, it did. They were in their own fighting games.
TMNT and Smash and Tournament Fighters. And, anyway. Yeah, so when you specifically team up with Cap and Winter Soldier and you do his level 3, Enduring Justice, I think it's called, or something along those lines.
And it's like, isn't it?
You they have do to be, the moment
you
where
you have to be Bucky to start it. If you're Cap, it doesn't work.
Exactly, exactly. So they do the moment where they do the double beat down on Iron Man,
it's tossing the shield between each other.
They toss and catch the shield back and forth, and like do the the double
and, like,
tack.
Crush his skull in between the shield and Bucky's arm.
Yeah, yeah. And then Cap does the good work, soldier. Thumbs up, and Bucky's like, "All right, get the fuck out of here, dude."
Yeah, he's like, "I don't need you anymore." Yeah, there should absolutely, if anyone that there's a
unyielding
good pairing,
justice.
Like, dude, they should be able to have a secret super. Why not?
Yeah, man, because now that you have Spider-Man and Venom in the game,
why not?
Why not? You can do that. You have Mega Man and Zero.
Yeah.
Right? There's tons of teams. What's cool, too, is like finding out what people call each other is always fun. Because when you have, because like Hulk calling people things, he always just says dumb things.
Yeah, he always did that.
Big robot!
Right.
Yeah. You know? But when you have Spider-Man and Venom on the same time, Spider-Man goes, Eddie! And then Venom goes, Parker!
Of course.
That's great. So
it's the new Jonathan Charlotte.
Jonathan?
Eddie.
Charlotte.
Parker.
Jonathan.
Charlotte.
Jonathan.
Charlotte.
Parker.
Tetsuo?
Godena!
Let's take some emails.
Anime. Hey, if you want to send an email, send that to superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Tetsuo Kaneda at Kaneda.tetsuo.
/ Akira.
No one yells Akira.
I'm sure someone does in the manga.
At some point, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the manga's like a billion years long.
And then they get blown into fucking dust.
What fucking time? I'm talking about a manga. It can't be time long. What the?
Well, it's long to read. It's a lot
of
volumes.
Yeah, I know, but like you I
should have said. No, it's so long.
I hope that, like, I bet
that's
you.
Like saying the sandwich is 10 hours long.
It's 10 hours to eat it.
Someone's yelling Akira, and they're yelling at a jar with eyeballs in it.
And the jar blinks.
And then that person's head blows up.
Oh, man.
Don't do it.
Nah, do it, man.
We got one coming in from. Where should we start?
Wherever you think.
Yeah, man. You got a sea of good emails in front of you.
All right, let's start with
such
Philip.
High quality. Hey, Phil.
Hello.
Greetings, O Lords of Dark Matter Scum. When I was younger, I used to watch lots of cartoons based on video game franchises.
Well, it's in my wheelhouse.
What game series do you think of today deserves an old school cartoon?
Oh, man.
I'm going to stand by the Star Fox one.
Star Fox animated.
I would
cartoon.
Love like a Saturday morning.
A Fox in Space. A Fox in Space, yeah.
I would love like a Saturday morning Devil May Cry that's like done like the old fucking Zelda cartoon.
The anime's not that far off.
No, it's far off. I want some goofball, stupid,
bad animation
shit. Yeah. Like the Mario or Zelda show, but Dante.
I want, like the sword going through Dante is just like, it's like sliding the same art through his body.
Yeah.
And then it just comes out the other end.
The Zelda show isn't even that much different tonally from Devil May Cry.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I thought of it.
I think a Rare property, Virgil. Or like even Yooka-Laylee, like a Banjo-Kazooie cartoon would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Even a Conker, even like an Adult Swim Conker cartoon.
So
cool.
I like there's an obvious answer, but I kind of feel like it's not the right era for it. But Overwatch,
I looked up at the Farrah thing before you said Perler before you said it. I was like, a CG doesn't have to be as gorgeous, but a cheaper
an Overwatch,
looking CG Overwatch
super
cartoon.
Right.
I'd love that.
Right with a fucking stunt dog style intro.
Yeah,
Overwatch.
Man, you're completely right. That'd be perfect fit.
Soldier 76 is the leader.
Yeah.
You know what it could be? It could be old reboot style animation.
Yeah, make it look real as shit.
That'd be unnecessary.
You're right. It isn't unnecessary because the Guardian Code is coming. Don't mark your calendars is pretty good.
Yeah, we'll have more on that. Or not.
No, you won't be able to.
Here's a serious one.
Sorry, just one more. An Undertale cartoon where it just makes no sense. Like, there's no storylines at all. It's just a series of gags and vignettes.
And then once you're done, the director comes out and tells you that you watched it wrong.
You watched it wrong.
I don't even want it. I think it should almost be like the FLCL manga. Like, incomprehensible mess of, like, four comas.
Yeah, sure.
And then you're done.
That's kind of what I meant.
Yeah. Okay. So here's one that goes in.
All right, let's hear it.
No meme here for the entire email, I promise.
That's a meme.
To the SBF crew, I heard you guys discussing Devil May Cry V, and you seem to be... this is from Pierce.
You.
Pierce.
Hey, Pierce.
So I heard you guys discussing Devil May Cry V, and you seem genuinely interested in a new game coming out and seem genuinely to love the series. The whole thing makes me confused, as you and others' excitement is so alien to my experience with the game.
Uh-huh.
It's difficult to understand the appeal of the series, and I was wondering if you could perhaps read my experience and tell me what the appeal is to you.
Got it.
I bought the HD collection of Devil May Cry after finishing Bayo. I loved, quote-unquote, Bayo. I had such a good time with Bayo, finishing 3+ times. I wanted more. I heard lots of good things about Devil May Cry and that it's the game that was made by the same people. I heard them praising the stylish, fun combat, interesting enemies, well-done gameplay, lighthearted and jokey tone, good music, and more. Boy, was I in for a shock. I spent $70 or so on the collection, and I consider it to be one of the worst game purchases decisions I've ever made.
Mm-hmm.
My experience with the game was pretty much the opposite of what was advertised. Instead of stylish, fun combat, it turned out the only real strategy was mashing attack button. I remember an uppercut, but there was no use for it. To be fair, I also found the shotgun and a dresser to replace the useless pistols, but it turned the game into repeatedly shoot them. The game didn't seem lighthearted or jokey at all. Instead, it all seemed rather dour, with complete moments of failing to be cool in there. Instead of interesting enemies, I got dumb, boring puppets for the most of the time I played.
The person's clearly just talking about DMC1.
Yes. Yeah. Instead of well-done gameplay, I got awful camera work and jumping way worse than it should have been. The real worst thing, however, was the music, the awful pipe organ massacre on eternal loop, the kind of physical punishment for playing the game at all. I got a literal headache from listening as I wandered around the castle. Compare that to Bayo, which has such a fun intro sequence, and immediately in the graveyard you have access to a full move set. I got to do a whole bunch of moves with each variation. I got to do cool, useful things, which time and bullet climax, and the music is good, and the game, quote-unquote, keeps being fun continuously.
Mm-hmm.
Onwards to HD Collection, driven by the talk of how good the series is, $70, and I paid for the 3 games. Eventually, I reached the spider that was on fire. I fought it for a bit and decided that it wasn't making the game better and then that it would never get better. So I pretty much, I eventually passed the game on to someone else through eBay. Monkey Paw style. So what exactly do you guys like about Devil May Cry, both the first game in particular and the series as a whole?
All right. Well,
what got this game 3 sequels and a remake?
I'm going to say right off the bat, before you guys probably go more depth than me, it's like it's not great compared to Bayo, because Bayo's much newer, has more systems, and is more fun generally.
This is a very understandable situation.
If you go from Bayo, but this person has to understand that we grew up playing Devil May Cry.
I can follow the timeline that leads to this. So I understand.
I want to point out that this is a very similar complaint that you see a lot of the time when you go from the spinoff, the spiritual successor game that's far into the future, and then you go back to pretty much where it started, and it's like, there is a specific personality trait of your tolerance for shit being old. And Devil May Cry 1 is positively fucking ancient at this point. It came out in 2001. It is old as shit. Bayonetta is now old as shit, but that genre hasn't really advanced all that far past Bayonetta. A lot of the design decisions made during Bayonetta were specifically to combat the issues that you describe. Jumping in DMC1 in particular is really bad. The way that you dodge, holding the way that you dodge in that game was even called out in the leak for V as something that's awkward and needed to change.
Yeah,
it needed to be more DMC1.
DMC1 is now old enough to drink. I think that in particular
in Canada,
when you think about Yeah.
20, yeah, it's not 21.
Oh, God,
yeah,
it's fucking 21 shit. What the fuck? Anyway.
Well, it's only 16, so you'd have to go to
DMC1 in particular, the besides remembering that it's like the time and such and the context.
Yeah.
This was a game that when you first played it, you're coming off of it being like, it's a Capcom game and it's like, oh, it's like Resident Evil. So your expectations were Resident Evil.
It used to be a little bit faster, right?
Yeah. Because that's originally what it was. So with that in mind and kind of like setting your expectations there, what you got was something way faster and more exciting than Resident Evil, and the tone is definitely dour compared to Bayo now.
Or DMC3 later.
But DMC1 compared to RE is lively and fun.
And
because you've got a jumping around character going flock off Featherface, or you can stick around and find out the hard way, was a something that you wouldn't get from Chris Redfield or Jill Valentine.
Not intentionally.
You also have to compare it to the state of the 3 action game at the time. God of War was quality. But that came later.
Yeah, it came out like four years later.
Like, compare that to, like, Lament of Innocence, which was the Devil May Cry knockoff that Konami made, which is a Castlevania game, and every 3D action game in the PS1 era. Like, it was a quantum leap forward in, like, control, in move list, in style. So, for example, you found an uppercut, but you didn't find a reason to use it. That's because the primary reason to use it in Devil May Cry 1 is to pop up an enemy so it can't hurt you, shoot it, so that it looks cool. Like, that's the number one reason to use the uppercut, is because it looks dope.
Here's the other thing. This is a game that came out on the PS2, but let's not forget that the PS2 was a fucking long generation.
Mm-hmm.
This was early PS2, not launch.
One of the earliest.
But almost launch season.
Like, PS2 was still getting notable releases like in 2006,
when it came, because I played it as one of the games that, like, first time I touched the PS2 was at Microplay when you'd rent. And I remember, like, picking out DMC because it was like, oh, yeah, it's one of those new games for
DMC
this new console.
DMC1 was the first game I ever, like, rented as soon as I got my PS2. Like, I spent all my money so I couldn't buy a game. So I went to the store and I rented DMC1.
So what DMC1 effectively represents is the break off of a different franchise that was its holder, in the same way that Dota broke off from Warcraft, right? In the same way that Counter-Strike broke off
from Half-Life.
Like, you're seeing the first step of basically a mod. DMC1 was effectively an RE mod.
An RE4 mod.
Right?
Like a repurposed Resident Evil game. Basically.
And the expectations going in were not for this new thing that you now know as a song, as a solid type of genre, but it was a genre that didn't exist at
the
time.
So, like, I mean, we all came to it from different places. Like, the place that Matt and I came at that series is wildly different from the one that Wooly came from it. Me and Matt are big old school Resident Evil fans. So you look at Devil May Cry and you look, oh, it's got Dino Crisis style 3D environments, but it's still fixed camera, and there's a lot like of Resident interactables Man. That you can read, mm-hmm. like in Resident Evil,
yep.
and it's a really gothic, like, oppressive, like, environment. But it's a lot. It's turning into the goofy stuff that Resident Evil does.
Yeah.
But it also has really solid action combat, and it starts the stylish action category of presentation and cutscenes.
But they were fixing the car as it was rolling because they didn't know what they invented, right? And this is, and to Pierce, to like actually address what you're talking about. The fact that DMC2 is such a train wreck,
it's the worst.
Shows you how much they didn't know what they had, right? They really didn't know. Like, people were upset because guns usually do damage, but these guns don't. Why?
In this game, guns are combo filler.
It doesn't make sense why my guns are not hurting things, because bang, bang, gun.
Yeah.
And the idea of thinking outside the box of them being like, no, exactly, these are combo filler. They're meant to stall you while in the air while I do other things.
And keep your combo.
There was no precedent for that. There's no reason to think that way. And it was not explicitly explained in any menu. Mm-hmm. It was just something that was emergent with how the game worked out. Mm. So all this to say is that in your HD collection, if you happened to make it over to 3...
3 is a lot closer to what you are used to.
But
you would see the actual first steps of, we know what we're making now, right? We fully understand and embrace, like, the wackiness, the craziness, the combo, the style, the fun.
And it's all iterative, right? So 3 has, what's his name? Shimomura. Doing the cutscenes.
Yeah, so right? The cutscenes are
and the cutscenes,
over the top.
Shimomura did Bayo1's cutscenes, he did DMC4's cutscenes, and he's probably going to do DMC5's cutscenes, right? That tone becomes established, right? In addition, DMC1's dodging is terrible. DMC2's dodging is even worse. DMC3 has a style which introduces Bayonetta-style invincible dodges in Trickster. But it's a specific style button. Bayonetta looks at that and then goes, no, let's make that universal and put it on a trigger. And then let's give people a bonus for using
it. For using it perfectly and exactly.
It's a very iterative process.
I would still say that maybe even still, like, judging from that email, it was pretty harsh on about everything. Probably better if you ever want to try it against, actually just start a DMC4 if you're so into Bayonetta.
I agree.
Like, even 3 might be a little... Because... I think the generation gap might be a problem with this, with what, Phil, what was it? Anyway.
Pierce.
I think the generation gap might be a little bit, like, it might be better to go DMC4 than, if you like that, maybe then dip back into DMC3 just a bit.
There is also, he's talking a lot about Bayo, and it's a really good, easy comparison point. Bayonetta is not made by the same people who made the Devil May Cry series.
Not 100% at least. Mm-hmm.
Bayonetta is made by the people who made DMC1. Mm-hmm. And 3 and 4 are made by Itsuno-san and those folks. And I'm not even going to talk about 2. Fuck that game.
But there was a collective...
There is a split.
There's a split. But there, and you see that whenever, you know, poor Kamiya has to answer questions about modern Dante.
Yeah.
But alongside that split was a collective understanding of what a character action game was.
And Bayo and DMC do aim towards different directions. Bayonetta is a lot more freeform, I would say, and it's a lot more like flow based because of the way dodging works. Whereas Devil May Cry, when it hit 3 and 4, like the specific draw to many people, it becomes a combo machine. Hmm. It becomes a training mode simulator on helpless enemies that you can do a billion. You can do a lot more in 4 than you could ever do in Bayo. And that's not a knock against Bayo. It's just the focuses of those games are different.
Plus, you also have multiple.
Like, the nonsense that Virgil can get up to in the special edition is totally ridiculous.
So, I was going to say 3 special edition. I don't know if it's so old that it's like...
I can't
go back to it.
I can, and some people can, but I'm just from that harsh that email was on DMC one.
One is now like unrecognizable as the start of that genre.
Sure,
and it's gone so far.
But the point is, I guess it comes from like who it depends on who you are and what you're looking for and how much you're willing to put up with, I suppose. Because I know some people that like would want to get into it that'd be like, fuck yeah, I'll start with one. I don't know what this wonky shit is, but they'll enjoy that wonky ride for what it was and go like, oh man, that's how it used to be. Now I understand, you know. Mm-hmm. So some people have more patience with that than others. But if you didn't know what you were in for, then yeah, you wouldn't have known that the third game is kind of where you'd start to see a lot more of your Bayo influence.
It reminds me a lot of people who, and this is slightly different, but it's like people who go back, they hear FF7 is the greatest RPG
and they go that's it
now,
yeah
and they go, what's the big deal? Exactly. These cutscenes look terrible. I'm like, no, I mean, the context of the time.
Thankfully I haven't ran into many of those people, but I can imagine that, because a lot of things get overrated based on inflation over time of hype, you know. Mm-hmm. But no, so this person, like, and I could imagine them also being excited for games like Revengeance, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And those things, because you're seeing the realized full version of the idea.
Yeah. So if it's real, and when it comes out, it will, is probably going to be way more up your alley than these older ones, because they're going to be building off the lessons that they saw in Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2.
Smooth. And effectively, to answer your question, the reason why we're excited and into the series is because of all the shit that you didn't do, which is the third game and beyond.
Yeah, the third and fourth game. Like, so, I personally
would also, because it's been so long since
I personally
we had a last
would love
proper.
Like, there's an alternate version of history in which DMC1 became the long running template of that series, and I'd be perfectly happy because I really like that mixture.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happier with this one, where it became a single player fighting game.
If Kamiya gets his wish, he's gonna go back to DMC1, Dante, because that's what he's got in his head. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, we're looking at DMC5 probably being all the things you love about Bayo and all the things you love about Revengeance and all the things you love about DMC4 and so on getting incorporated
the
into
synthesis.
This new version, because now we know more about this genre than ever, right? To the point
where even Dragon's Dogma had lessons to teach, and that's barely touching it.
And the Pretenders to the Throne are now pretty decent games.
Yeah.
Right?
The knockoffs and reboots
are coming along quite well.
Decent.
So
at worst.
You know, like everything stands to reason that this is going to be phenomenal. But all that quality was in the games that you didn't play.
And also, there's stuff in Devil May Cry 1 that never came back that I miss.
Like?
Perfect shots that kill enemies in a single hit.
Fucking thank you. When you get the scissor fucks and they're coming at you and you wait and line up the shotgun and get a headshot, you know, and they die in one.
You know you can do it with a pistol, right?
Totally.
It's not a damage thing.
It is one of the coolest things in the entire franchise, and it never came back.
Yeah, and it's only for that one enemy.
Holy fuck, I loved it so much.
Yeah. It's harder to do with the pistol because the aiming has, but it's you get the clash and it has to be to the right side and you walk 2 feet to the left and you put the gun on their forehead and you pop and you just
The shots lined up, they fucking, and they're such an annoying enemy to fight, so a really pain free way of dealing with them with style was so welcome. That was great, really good example. Yeah, absolutely.
Also, I have one last thing. He mentions fighting Phantom, the lava spider. One of the things about Phantom that I remember blew people's fucking minds was that you can hit his projectile
back into his open mouth. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not a big deal anymore,
no.
Obviously.
But if you were frame perfect, or let's say like 3 or 4 frame perfect.
Right, you could do it, and it felt awesome.
Yeah.
Like the camera in that fight's not the best, and you know, he's not, you know, but like that
hidden
there's
bits.
Cool stuff there.
Little hidden bits.
Like later DMC4 made it so that it's like, no, I'm gonna grab this fucking spear out of the air and throw it back. Even cooler with Nero.
I'm biking down the fucking tower and yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
I think that was answered.
I'd say so.
The context of the period is vital.
But again, it's very understandable that someone with zero information walks in and goes, what is this?
But also, I'm not going to stand here and go like, oh, we're perfect and we can do that. Like, I can't go back to things past a certain date. I can't go back to things before I started playing games.
Well, that's what...
I can't go back to the Atari and appreciate any of that shit.
Well, Pat, you were able to watch 0079 and not have a problem with it.
That's right.
But not everyone can do that.
Many.
Which is why I have a hard time saying, oh, yeah, start at 79 because I'm like, I understand that some people don't, and I don't know what, you know, I have to know.
There are people that are going to, this animation sucks.
I have to know if you're the type of person that can, that is willing to sit through dated shit to, and appreciate, and you're able to go like, I can put my mind in a place where I know what this was at the time, therefore this is like good for its place.
Think about it this way, like there are people out there that, like younger folks or people that didn't get into animated movies until later, who are used to the modern state of animation. And if you were to go show them like a Miyazaki film or like an older Disney film, go, why does this animation look so old? Why does it look so bad?
No, here's the worst one. You know? I know I have I think they're like, I don't know, 16, 17, whatever. The son of a friend or whatever was talking about, I think, Force Awakens. They're like, man, I hate those fake looking costumes that the aliens wear. They don't like people that don't like going back to practical effects, don't like puppets, don't like miniatures. That's where I'm like,
punch them.
Don't get me wrong. CG is CG and it needs to be here.
Yeah.
But if someone makes that choice to go, I want a monster that looks real and we don't. Do we have a cool thing? Like those little frost foxes that are in The Last Jedi. In most shots, they're CG, but they made a practical model that looks amazing, and they use that for close-ups or whatever. And I'm like, someone that's like can't go back to fucking practical effects.
I've got
is it's, crazy.
But bad CG though,
I don't know,
is so much worse than bad practical
bad
effects.
Bad CG is absolutely.
I don't know if you guys actually know
effects.
This. Matt might, but you know the Thing sequel, the one that takes place on the Norwegian base,
that came out a few years ago. I seen it.
That was all CG effects, much to the disappointment of fans of the original,
sure.
Right? Are you aware that the entire movie was shot and filmed using practical effects? And then the producers or executives in charge of the project said, the testing says that young people like the CG look. and it'll do better with the CG look. I did not know that. And they replaced the entire film's practical effects with CG.
The testing was so bad that they spent that much money on completely re-releasing it.
Like, and there's behind the scenes things if you can see, like the double combined man.
It's fucked. It's fucked.
Where it's a practical rig and it looks so good.
That's a shame because that movie in its finished state is actually fine. It's a decent like. You know? Is it as good as... No, of course not.
No.
But, like, I was actually surprised. Like, well, this wasn't that bad. I enjoyed it, I guess.
But
the fact that I missed out on that...
Yeah. The fact that was an economical decision that was, like...
No, the kids like the CG.
Yeah, and it's worth it for us to actually go back and spend on it. Like, it's fucked.
That's crazy.
There's no winning this. You know?
Go look that stuff up. The practical effects they made...
Awesome.
And there's interviews with guys who made the rig, and they're like all about to cry because they're like, yeah, it all got taken out.
That's super depressing. And the fact that like the people involved in making it, like even the production level, are like, you know, you're telling me that the producers were saying, yeah, we know it sucks, but
busted 6 months of my life to make this fucking rig, and the test shoots were great, and they okay.
That's why I'm glad in Predator movies they always have some asshole running around in his cool suit.
Yeah, because it's a human shaped.
But you know what, Matt? If someone told me they were gonna put in a practical effects Kathaga into the relic, I would say, "Fuck you!
No,
get out of my house!"
That dank bad CG.
Get the fuck out of my house!
It's in the darkness, but they haven't quite been able to light CG monsters that well, so it always stands out. And it's gray.
His shadows are gray.
It's all terrible.
I would not accept it.
There's certain exceptions to the rule. Yeah.
Don't you dare
take away my bad CG Kathaga from me.
Oh, there was one last thing that I forgot to mention about Devil May Cry that adds into it.
Okay.
That would hurt a person's enjoyment of it now. When it came out, it wasn't just a great action game. It was a great action game that was hard as shit and had tons of variable difficulty modes that you would unlock later. So a lot of the depth in that game
DMD,
got
yeah,
discovered as a result of super... I remember me and you had an argument over whether you preferred like Kick 13 or the Meteor on Ifrit for like Nightmare's Core.
Right.
And it's like, well, Kick 13's faster... And it kicks away the fucking the triangle projectiles that go towards you, but the meteor actually does do more damage over time. It's like all that stuff isn't visible on a casual play, and the game's difficulty with its like more obtuse mechanics as of now make it worse overall.
And people put the same level of scrutiny into this that they do into like really competitive FPSs or really competitive fighting games or really competitive other types of multiplayer games, and you end up finding really obscure things, you know? And there's like secrets, like things that go from one-shot kills on certain enemies and, you know, knocking back Phantom's fireball turn into plug-in controller 2 during...
Arkham.
And you get a second player controlling Virgil on that boss fight.
And then you have the people who go on the real deep dive and they find out, hey, how many times can you jump cancel Killer B? Oh, infinite times? Okay, let's see if we can defeat Beowulf with just Killer B. You totally can, and shit like that.
And also, if you stay on Doppelganger, that your Doppelganger can also be controlled by player 2 entire time. So, you know what I mean? Like little things like that where you're like, what the fuck? That's in the game? Like, there's super, super...
Can we please
like,
get a co-op mode in the new Devil May Cry?
Only if you don't split the screen.
You got a co-op mode in Bayonetta 2?
Only if you don't split the screen. And it functions better than you think it does.
Yeah, you've always been on about that.
I really expected it to be shit, and it wasn't. Okay, let's take one last one from Bailey. He says, "Dear King Lootbox, Pat, and others, recently with the official release of Battlefront 2 EA Edition and Thanksgiving in the U.S. happening, I was surrounded by family members talking about all sorts of debates and politics and such, and eventually the hot button was EA for the entire day."
Wow.
Really? Huh.
I had to go on explaining progression systems and how they were introduced.
Okay. That can take a while.
Microtransactions and their origins, what loot boxes are, and so much more. By the end, they were all disgusted with EA and the parents who were all
pulled their shares out of the company.
Who were all participating in Black Friday agreed to not buy their kids Battlefront 2 and tell other parents essentially making a boycott this holiday at all. I found myself dumbfounded that EA fucked up so bad to the point where I was having to explain to them what the system was and clear up any wrongful reasonings, however. For example, one of the parents thought EA was stealing money with loot boxes and selling the credit card, selling them to credit card scammers.
They might be. We don't know for sure.
That's incredible. Has there ever been something where you had to be the negotiator on something to family members or a non-game playing group such as this one?
I actually very recently explained this to my parents because my dad knew was that EA was in the news for fucking up Star Wars.
Yeah.
And yeah. I explained to him he is slightly more knowledgeable than the people in this story sound.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, no. Just immediately.
For me, most recently, it's been a bunch of calls and random things and, you know, sitting down together and going, so what's a Bitcoin? What you know about this Bitcoin, Wooly? And I'm like, oh, fucking
actually,
Christ.
That's mine. I was asked by my sister, yeah, who's a bit older than me, and she asked, like, what are Bitcoins?
Because now the word's getting out because it's spiking. Yeah.
And so, what are Bitcoins? And I gave her my explanation, which is, I don't know.
That's okay. A good explanation.
Really. Yeah. No I one really knows.
It's a fake currency made by computers by that nerds. You use to buy drugs with.
Yes. I mean, effectively, but it's also going to be likely replacing some currencies in the future because it's an unstoppable Wild West internet situation. It's pretty, yeah. And it's
totally unregulated, and people just keep taking their bitcoins and robbing the bank.
It's unregulated, which is why it's just like the internet was at the beginning, which is why it's going to be around forever.
I really want to see the image of a robber with like a black ski mask, and he's holding two money sacks that just say Bitcoin
bit on it.
Them.
Yeah,
and he's just like, yeah.
Did you know that the bag with the money dollar sign on it is copyright Gene Simmons of Kiss?
Shut up, how?
Because he's a litigious fuck.
Okay, that's yeah, good, that makes Kiss. Sense.
You know, about Battlefront, I should mention Battlefront 2 literally just got updated mm-hmm. to change the loot box shit like just now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the changes
what
are?
What is it?
End of round payout has been increased. Earn 3 times as many credits per day in the arcade mode.
Mm-hmm.
Daily login crates now provide more.
Hey guys, where are you going?
And of course,
guys,
you'll be able to get free, and it's got an asterisk next to it, heroes, vehicles, and things in the Last Jedi season coming soon.
Guys, come back.
It's nothing. They're just increasing the rewards. It's absolutely no change to the problem. So
guys.
They're also putting out free single-player DLC, so that's nice, I guess.
Want to go see Looper?
But yeah, you guys got to...
Yeah. Actually, it's been a while.
Looper?
Fucking nothing.
Yeah, man. No. It's you know, all I really can tell people is like, yeah, if you bought in early and you held it now, you're fucking laughing.
Oh.
But it's gonna pop and crash, and if you're finding out about Bitcoin from fucking BuzzFeed, guess what?
I've got one for you that I dealt with it wasn't me, but multiple people I knew, their parents asked them the same question. What's a Pokemon Go? Should I invest in Nintendo?
Yeah.
And the answer always comes back.
That was a big one.
No, it's too late.
Yeah.
It blew up.
Yeah.
It's blown up.
That's what I had to. It's a rich.
And it can't blow up further.
Pokemon
right
Go.
Now.
I can't remember what it was before that, but there's definitely something before that as well. It's like by the time you are asking me about it, it's too late because you're not paying attention to this world. So you catching it means it's out there and you missed the boat.
Like people who pay too much attention to the games business like us and the people listening to this podcast could theoretically make decent investment decisions based off of your knowledge of what's going to happen.
Of that industry.
Or if it's going to be hot or if it's going to be not.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
So like, for example, if any of us here was really like – for sure that the Switch is going to be a smash success, you could have seen the Switch trailer originally and gone bam and invested that day, like months before the release and the financial stuff, and maybe you could have got a return. But like your dad sees on the news, oh, it's the biggest thing ever. It's like, well, it's too late, Dad.
I'll never forget when the Wachowskis were talking about the Matrix
stupid idiot.
And they were basically describing how for the entire last half. Well, pretty much from the late, like from 1960 onwards, nerds behind the curve set the tone for the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whatever is a geeky thing now becomes mainstream 10 to 15 years later,
mm-hmm.
because convenience and technology is what everybody wants.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of something like that's an interesting new way of living or doing some anything in life gets invented and is an obscure thing at first.
The weirdos do.
That only weirdos do.
Yeah.
And then it becomes, and then someone comes along, makes it easy to interface with on a public level.
Like, say, an iPod or a Google.
Right.
Or, you know,
whatever. The .com boom blows the fuck up and goes away. A year later, Google AdWords comes in,
yeah.
and just takes it from there. Like, that whole thing is just like, they whatever they do now, just you're gonna, you laugh at it now, but in about a decade, you're gonna be doing it too.
Yeah, those people with Google Glass implanted into their brains.
Well, you know, they're not all gonna be gold.
Yeah,
but in general, right? And so they kind of looked at, like, they took the Matrix as a bit of that, where it's like, you know, like, this was, it changed, that changed a lot of action movies forever.
Oh yeah.
But, like, you know, a lot of what they were doing at the time was like hacker punk and all that was just like,
and it's like, who the fuck is kung fu anime shit? What the fuck is this? Who's gonna give a fuck about that?
You're making a pseudo, like, cartoon sequel? Why? You know, like, all of that was super weird. But, like, yeah, it's like, if you're paying attention, then you know it's gonna become the norm. You know, it's just wait for it. Yeah. That's
why. If you want to be famous, you want your product to be famous, you want your franchise to be famous, either be really good or be really shitty right now, and then people in the future will love you.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is buy a Beanie Baby.
Yeah. If you saw a Beanie Baby and went like, this looks like shit, but I bet a bunch of dumb idiots will go crazy over them, you could have made a lot of money.
Should I invest in Furby?
The fact that you know what a Furby is means it's too late.
Yeah. All right. Can I invest in Netflix?
I don't know.
I don't think.
Because I remember when Netflix was a bunch of CDs coming to my PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
And I did QA for them on their PS2 Jesus. Build. And you had to then rent shit, and it was ridiculous.
Hey, thank Wooly for helping build the future Netflix. Of streaming services.
Yeah. Single-handedly, even.
And then somebody at Netflix went, hey, guys, the internet.
What's coming up? What's coming out?
Okay, we got KOTOR coming out.
KOTOR.
Pockets the Jedi having her adventure.
Yeah.
Got Jumpman and his deep, hellish deep hat.
His fucking mind-possessing hat.
Omicron 2 is also
Omicron
continuing.
2, Super Mario.
Oh, my God. Oh, I feel like Evil Within 2 is going to finish tomorrow.
Welcome in Mario Odyssey. Yep.
So I have one. So it. I saw a thread, people talking about how excited they were to see the ending, and one of them was just all caps, amazing transitions.
Yeah.
That person's right.
Yeah, they are right.
Evil Within 2's final part is defined by amazing transitions.
It's like MGS4-esque, mm-hmm. but better.
Yeah. No, it's something. You might want to check it out, Wooly. Like, mm-hmm. there's some cool stuff in there.
It's been a minute since I've let the waves wash over of lots of excitement for a new franchise that people, like, fucking love.
Yeah.
Followed by, okay, well, here's how you got to play the game, though. And, like, me being like, but no.
Welcome to Western RPGs,
no,
buddy. Welcome to Western RPGs.
I'm not going to play it the way you want
to
play it.
I tried to help you pick a scout. I tried.
Because I want to play it the way I want to play it.
Well, you're going to need a skill monkey.
And that's going to be in the past. So
you're going to need one.
Yell at the past. That's
in 15 years, people will be looking at that LP and be like, that's where it, yeah.
That's where it all went downhill.
Or uphill.
Oh, okay.
How you play it.
Well, maybe. See, what I've tried a different path for this one, in which I'm trying to preemptively be those people.
Oh.
So that when you say nah, mm-hmm. like, no, you've already said nah to them also, so there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
But it's not working.
Here's what I know. I know that the age of the game means my choices are way more committed and hard locked.
Mm-hmm.
And especially since it's a D&D 3.5 campaign, you're
That's
fucking
correct.
Stuck on it.
Yeah. Did you level that stat? Hope you like it.
I get it. Yeah. I do. But at the end of the day, I live a stress-free life that'll get me to the credits
you
on this game.
You don't live a stress-free life.
On camera with the LP.
Pockets lives a stress-free
life. That's what I mean.
They have a high stress-free stat.
You know? So, by the way, I looked it up. That I was the most worried about you missing will eventually automatically be given to you,
okay,
even if you don't have the stats for it.
Okay.
So, hey.
Okay. Yeah, and the inevitable unintentional, like, panicked spoilers that are like, I don't mean to spoil, but I'm just so nervous that you might not know that you have to repair a cool character, or otherwise you don't get them things.
I say that in episode one.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, when you're looking at repair.
Exactly, right.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. Eventually, the story elements associated with that, if you can't do it, will be given to you.
Great, great.
You won't get the stat bonuses.
Sure.
But, yeah.
You know. That's fine. You know, that's fine, ultimately. And you know, like, you know what? Let's preemptively say that cool things will be missed.
Nah.
No?
We're
going to get them all no matter what?
There's not that much easily missable side content in that game. Like, almost everything stays open till the end,
okay,
kind of thing, right? It's the, because we played a million games on this channel now, right? A whole million.
A million.
And one of the things that is the most infuriating, Evil Within 2 does this, but we didn't have a problem with it, which is like, hey, did you advance past this? Fuck you. You're never going back. You're never going to get
like
it. You're never going to
see it. It's almost a semi-open world game,
right?
To a point.
And RPGs are particularly bad about it. This game is not.
The difference between this and everything else, though, especially like Souls games, for example, is you get a lot of people like just really concerned because they're, you know, in the Souls community and they know about like everything.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, I've never seen so many, this is my favorite video game.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen so many people literally just going, no qualifying statement.
Well, it's one of those watershed Star Wars games that just like blew everyone away.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't really have like a dedicated RPG, I don't think, up until that point.
No, it didn't.
So,
And it's the first one that actually like puts you in a Star Wars universe.
It's the BioWare breakout title?
And people,
yes, it absolutely is.
No, Baldur's Gate is the breakout title.
You're right.
Mainstream, though?
Yes,
Baldur's Gate.
Extremely mainstream.
Baldur's Gate, for sure. That was very popular. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, extreme. But, there's Breakout, and then there's Mainstream. Yeah. Like, Baldur's Gate is Breakout, and it's the first one. But, like, Star Wars brought BioWare to a much bigger scale.
Fair enough.
I'm really experiencing something I've never seen before, which is, like, concern spoilers, you know, people that are like, I don't want to, but I'm just, you know, and like recently the same thing has been happening with Ipo,
yeah,
where it's like,
oh man,
you're like, so many like pages are being sent where they're like, okay, I don't know if you've read, but
Ben, here's spoiling,
you know.
So
and it's
I actually want to talk about
it's like, now you, of course it's spoiled.
I actually want to talk about the Ipo thing for a bit, because I'm not going to say anything about it,
but the tone that everyone has makes it clear that you can't
people
not
who have been
know
keeping
what's
up
going
with Ipo
yeah.
are suddenly panicking,
losing their minds,
and
I will call it absolutely losing their minds,
and it is like this weird warning of like, you may want to stop caring about Ipo
type thing,
and it's extreme. I've never seen anything like it. And I read it. I read the spoiler.
Eventually, it just came at me. A page was posted.
I came away with,
in my
like,
face.
That is the most interesting thing I've ever seen. I am now so much more excited for more Ipo.
Interesting.
It's curious. It's a curious choice. But one way or another, the fucking, like, the shockwaves of that chapter getting released exploded to the point where people can't contain themselves.
I have never seen,
and even if they don't know where you're at on it, they're like,
never ever seen
a
fictional thing come out that the event couldn't be contained, right?
Usually
Red Wedding was bad, because I don't follow Game of Thrones, and I was unable to dodge all of it, right? Ipo, like, people are so upset and so freaked out about the future of that manga, which is one of the longest running mangas ever, that they're just going to you and like pleading for your, like, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck.
They need an outlet, you know? And they're like, you know what this is? You left it back
And when I read what it was, I don't even blame them, because I would be the same way. It's crazy.
So what we're saying is, invest in Ipo.
Invest in Ipo now.
If you get in now, before the curve.
Yeah.
Get me some of them Ipo bucks.
There'll probably be another LP starting up haven't mentioned, but Matt and I have not decided on it today.
Not yet.
We will have probably decided on it tomorrow.
A dark ritual will commence, and then the game will be
We have a list, and the list sucks, but that's kind of the point.
No new good games come out till next year. So,
oh boy,
there's a lot of good old games.
Yeah, well, maybe. None of those are on that. A couple are.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, no, right. I guess, no, that's it. Oh, Disaster Artist this weekend.
Oh yeah,
that's gonna happen.
Oh yeah, oh that's gonna be bad.
Yeah, what?
Good bad.
The movie.
No, I know, but what was It was a double feature. They're double featuring it.
Somewhere, yeah.
Somewhere in Montreal, they're doing back-to-back Room, then Disaster Artist immediately, which is a fucking meditation if you want to go into it.
That's rough.
That's insane. That's bad. That's a little intense.
Did you read James?
But I did do... We did Grindhouse.
Yeah, we did Grindhouse. And we came back from Grindhouse to your old apartment, like, screaming on the street, drunk. And walking through a McDonald's parking lot, just going over and over. Oh, man, the part with the girl in the car.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
James Franco has asked, how much of the Room did you we filmed about 30% of the movie?
I've seen some comparison bits.
That's a lot. That's a lot of movie.
We remade 30%
of the whole movie. Yeah. Is there enough like unused footage to just be a re-release?
I don't know.
Because that would be
that
something
was, that was too just weird. The quote I read.
So someone's definitely going to take the footage and then put it back into the old one.
James Franco brought Tommy Wiseau onto Jimmy Kimmel, and he sits down. He's like, "Ah, hi." And then he goes, "How old are you? Where are you from?" that's the first question.
Yes. Yes, I love it.
Amazing.
Hey, Wooly. Yeah. What's anything coming up on your Wooly Versus?
Yeah. There's a really cool new concept that I'm very excited to start.
You might say.
A new concept that I'm very excited to start with. To start shooting.
They've poisoned that word.
That wasn't a word.
It communication concept.
Is that going to be this week? Your cool new thing?
Your concept?
No, because like, you know.
Okay, well, that's not what we're talking about it on this podcast.
Yeah.
Because it'll be next week.
No, because I'm going to be a Kiwi.
You're going to
turn into a Kiwi.
This week?
Ivy the Kiwi.
Wooly the Kiwi.
Not this week, no.
Well, that's an easy drawing to make.
But soon.
Yeah.
It's just a Kiwi with treads.
Yeah, I'll be down and I'll be... Is it still down under?
Yeah.
It's down under to the side.
Yeah, it's under the equator.
It's down under and to the side, I guess. I'll be
down
there.
Well, Australia is just as far to the side as New Zealand. Meh. Isn't it?
Not just as, but it's near enough.
Okay. Hey, okay. Matt, you doing any streams this week?
None currently planned, kind of. Yeah, so... Nothing solid.
Okay. I decided to do a bunch of streams this week. I'm going to do one on Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday.
All that Monhun.
Well, Saturday is Monster Hunter. Thursday is Xenoblade. And Tuesday is going to be the new Destiny DLC.
You see, I thought Monhun stood for money, honey.
Hey, Wooly.
Oh, it used to.
Wooly, I have a legitimate...
What happened?
Nerds took it away.
and those are at Angry's Pad on Twitch. But I have a legitimate... request for you.
I wonder what
over
this
the weekend.
I wonder what this one's going
to
be.
I would like you to kill a monster at some point over the weekend.
Kill a monster.
One monster.
The shadow guys
either,
in your house.
Either a Barath, an Anjanath, or a Grey Jagras.
Can I start with you?
No.
My head also immediately went to that, but then I just like,
no, but,
I'm pushing
but
shadow
for
people
real
this
though,
week.
I need someone to talk to about the beta.
How do I get in?
You have PlayStation Plus.
That's it.
I might try it.
It would make me extremely
I think if
grateful.
There's any of them that I might ever try, it's this one.
If you guys gave it a shot.
Because I originally wanted to try that 3DS one where you look like it was good. But
can
I forget
just,
which one it was.
Can I just Before, pretend maybe. That I'm playing a game based on the character
from
Marvel
vs.
Capcom Infinite?
Yes.
How long does it take to get to dress up like that?
They might give it to you off the bat. The way that the demos work is different. The demos give you every weapon to choose from, and the weapons are, they give you a full set. There's no customization. They're just like, remember the Dark Souls demos, how those worked?
Mm-hmm.
They would just give you a build.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Monster Hunter demos work. They say, pick your weapon, and it'll come with a cool looking set. And then they ask you, do you want to go train, which is just literally fuck around with the weapon and train and do whatever, or which one do you want to go fight? And they're roughly assigned difficulties.
If I don't hear tasty in the first 10 minutes, that shit's getting deleted.
Well, it depends whether or not you actually know how to cook a goddamn raw steak. Well, they all tell you. Okay.
Right.
No, you want tasty? Yeah. Here's how you do it. You get your spit and you get your steak. You can get a steak from any one of those big dinosaur looking fucks. You get the raw meat, right? You start cooking it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have a little jingle. Like a carnival thing.
Yep.
When the jingle ends and the meat turns one shade darker than what it is, from light pink to kind of dark brown, that's when you hit the button and the character will pull the steak out and go, tasty.
But are you sure that it's the same in this new game?
It's always the same.
Okay. You guys just heard Crazy Talk activate.
After the jingle and it turns one shade darker.
Okay.
So that's your homework. Pat would very much appreciate it. I'll even call it a favor if you guys kill a monster or two.
A monster. Okay.
I need context. Especially I need context from people who are completely new.
Right.
Right? Who are looking at world with totally fresh eyes. Because that's kind of what they're banking on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looks good. I mean, you even looked at the character creator and went, oh.
Yeah. And now I'm just going to be making comparisons to fighting game. So it's going to be interesting to see that.
That's fine.
No. I'm saying I'm excited to see like those
moves are there. Cool.
Whatever lube you need.
Yeah, make it easier for me.
Like, and in some cases, you'll be using them in the same context.
Vicks Vapor Rub.
Eat this.
I wasn't expecting this would work.
All right, we're out.
We're out. Bye-bye.
That's a Dunsky.
See ya.